Blog Talk Radio.
Even in the ring?
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chang.
Is it me, man? Is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room. If you look on, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up.
What's going on, guys? What's going on, Chris?
None, man. Just hanging out. How you doing?
You know, just doing the same old over here, brother. You know, I know last week we didn't have the show. You know, I was up taking care of some business, but we're back on here on Thursday night again. We got a special guest caller, Casamayor, Joel Casamayor, El Sopio. She'll be calling a little later, chopping up with us about what's coming up new in his career and what is his plans on next, if he's looking for, say, anything particular in his career to get himself back into the limelight and stuff. Hey, Chris, I don't know, did you make that conference call today with Fader or no?
Oh, yes, I made that conference call, and let me tell you, it was a complete train wreck.
Really? Why? What happened?
Well, it's just, you know, the fighter, one of the fighters, the main fighter, and his manager slash promoter are Russian, so they had a translator, and it was just a lot of miscommunication between a lot of the questions and answers, and then one of the main promoters, the CEO of Strikeforce, he kept dropping off the call, as did one of the other managers, so it was just a bunch of confusion, and there were a lot of calls on, so I sat on there for over an hour, and unfortunately, I didn't even get an opportunity to talk, but it was a mess, but it was entertaining for all the wrong reasons.
So you were on there for an hour, and you weren't even able to even ask a question?
No, they had a lot of big name sites on there. You know how it is, you know, they had all the AOL, Yahoo, ESPN, you know, all the big names, so...
Yeah, I know, but you know, man, I mean, you're going to call in, at least give us little guys, which, you know, I mean, a shot. Give us one question, and we're taking the time, you know, we're taking an hour, 2 hours out of our lives to cover this and put this on a website, you know, but it is what it is, you know what I mean? Like you said, we're the little guys in this industry, so I guess we got to pay our dues, right?
Yeah, pay our dues, that's right.
All right. Well, anyways, let's see who else is on the line. I think my man David Chen is out there. I'm not really sure. Area code 443.
It's me, my man.
What's going on, brother? You hope up here in Cali?
Yeah, man. I'm actually outside right now enjoying the weather. I see, like, some girls sunbathing around the lawn, just chilling outside.
Ooh.
Man, enjoying the weather as long as I'm here. You know, I got a funny story because I'm in Beverly Hills, right? So I'm walking around here. I'm at the Grove in Beverly Hills, and apparently that's like the most famous, hottest shopping center around here, you know. And so I'm going to Barnes & Noble's and all the newsstands to see if I can find the new issue of The Ring magazine. And I could not find it, the one with Cotto on it. I could not find it. I see something like four or five publications at least that cover just the sport of MMA itself. You know, I see Cyborg on the covers. I see Silva on the covers. I see Kimbo Slice on the covers. And also there's a whole section on just martial arts, you know, itself. I mean, I love martial arts. That's where I came from. But I just think it's funny how you can't find anything on boxing.
You know, you can't find anything in boxing anywhere. I used to go to a one particular liquor store in San Jose. They used to have all the Ring, had the KO. I mean, you name it. It was there. Now, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's me. But it seems like ever since Golden Boy has taken over, the stands, and you know, the newspaper stands, the newsstands just don't seem to carry these magazines anymore, you know. Or maybe it's true. Maybe there's not – the Internet has finally taken over that part of the department where people are just not interested in going into the grocery store or liquor store to pick up a magazine. I don't know. What do you think,
yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is, like, real quick, that's the thing. It's like the Internet's fine. Things like Max Boxing is good for hardcore fans because they know what to look for. But when you don't have things in the stands, it seems
right.
to the regular people that the sport doesn't even exist anymore. You know what I mean?
I agree. I absolutely agree and stuff, you know, but I mean, what do we do? Like, you know, we got to write letters to Ring and find out, hey, why aren't you not putting them, especially in major cities? I mean, that's a major city where you're at. I come from a major city. Sacramento's a major city, and you're not having these boxing magazines in the convenience stores. That's a little weird. I mean, I understand if nobody's buying them and they're going to be return items or merchandise or whatever the case is, but I'll give out two or three and see how it works. You know, and like I said, I mean, I've been to Barnes & Noble, just like you. I've been everywhere else, and I've given up. I've actually given up where I have to buy my subscription online to get it delivered to my house in order to receive to read anything in the Ring magazine, which sucks. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is and stuff. Let's see who else is on the line, fellas. We do got a lot of stuff to cover on in boxing, but let's see who else. Let's get some other opinions. Area code 484, go ahead and state your name. Where are you calling from, brother?
It's Strikehart, Pennsylvania. How's
Strikehart,
it going,
what's going on, brother?
Nothing, just another long day at work, home.
Man, you know what, it sounds like all of us today, man, are a little bit out of it and stuff. maybe the weather, I don't know. I'm a little out of it today, man. I'm actually a little exhausted. I'm trying to catch up with everything. I'm a little tired myself, man. Gamboa's fighting tomorrow. But I've been so busy, I haven't even been able to check. Chris, maybe you can tell me. Is he fighting on Showtime? Is he fighting on ESPN? I know he's fighting in Prim, Nevada. That I know, but I just don't know what network he's going to be on.
Gamboa or Angulo?
No, Gamboa.
Well, let me see. I don't see Gamboa listed anywhere as fighting. Are you sure about that? I know he had a fight scheduled.
I'm positive about it because I was just speaking to his PR today, which is hopefully, I'm not really sure. I'm hoping that he's going to be on a little later on today, too, with us.
I'm looking at the schedule right now on a fight. He's not saying they usually have everything, but I don't see his name anywhere. So, unfortunately, I don't have any, I don't have the answer for you. The only name I know fight tomorrow for sure is Angulo and Anthony Durrell. But I don't know. Maybe he is, but I don't have any info on that right now, man.
Anthony Durrell, man. Let's talk about a prospect right there that seems to be pretty good. It seems to be the good Strikehart. What do you think?
Andre Durrell or Anthony?
Anthony.
This is Anthony that's fighting tomorrow. That Andre's
yeah,
the one
Anthony.
That's in the tournament. This is his brother.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't seen enough yet. So, jury's out here. I don't even really know about his brother either, to be honest. So, I'm the wrong guy to ask about Anthony Durrell.
At least you're honest about it, man. Chris, 916, brother. Any takes on this prospect, Anthony? I believe he's the younger brother, if I'm correct, right?
Actually, I think they might be twins. You might be thinking of the Peterson brothers. Well, I'm not for sure. They look exactly the same, both those brothers. But,
they do look exactly the same, but I don't think they're twins. I don't think they're twins. I'm pretty sure they're not. You know, I'm, you know.
Yeah, I think Anthony, we haven't got to see as much as him, because I believe he had some kind of medical condition he was going through. I don't know exactly what it was. I know Serafina has an interview with him on her YouTube channel. I haven't had a chance to check that out, but I might want to go check that out now. But he looked good. You know, I've seen him on ESPN a couple times in the past. Like I said, he hasn't been in the ring for a while from what I recall. So, you know, his brother's great prospect. So I think, you know, they're cut from the same cloth. You know, the fact that Alfred Angulo's on that show as well, I'm going to be checking it out. So we'll see how he bounces back. But he's someone to keep your eye on.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Let's see. I know Casimiro is supposed to be calling in right now, so let me make sure he's not on the line. Area code 786. Go ahead and state your name. Where are you calling from, brother?
Hello?
Hello?
What's happening? Louis the Cuba Jr.
Who's this?
Louis the Cuba Jr.
Louis, ¿qué pasó, man? How you doing, brother?
What's happening, baby? How can we get you all in here?
All right, man. You know, I was telling everybody right now you guys are going to be calling in. Hey, maybe you can answer me this. Gamboa, it's Cyclone. Is he fighting tomorrow? He's fighting tomorrow, right?
No.
Oh, man, I thought for sure that he was fighting. Why do I don't understand why I was thinking that. Maybe I got the names mixed up. My bad,
give me
man.
Give me 1 second. I'm trying to get you on another line. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Told you.
Yeah, I guess I mixed it up with Angulo. I think maybe that's what Serafina was trying to tell me. Angulo, not my bad. My bad, guys.
Yeah.
See, there you go, man. That's how you know I'm exhausted. You got the names mixed up. I even got my boy Stanley in the chat room talking smack about me. Art. So, yeah, he's fighting. Angulo is fighting on ESPN tomorrow.
That's right. Or if we can bounce back from that loss.
Hopefully he can, man, and I'll see what he does and see. Let's see if you know, he's not sick, because I think that's what really took effect on him the last fight, you know, fighting Cintron. Not taking nothing away from Cintron. I think Cintron was just a little bit too much seasoned for him stepping in the ring. But, you know, there was some claims that, you know, Alfredo was a little ill stepping in the ring that night.
He looked it.
We shall see, man.
We shall see. Okay, while we're waiting for Luis to get Casamayor on the line, kind of go into, you know, it's been a sad couple of months, man, for boxing. You know, first Arturo Gatti, Alexis Aguero, and now we got Vernon Forrest. You know, man, I just, you know, that sucks. And then we had the young Mexican kid that passed away that fought Omar Chavez, you know.
Yeah, man, it just don't stop. It seems like lately, you know, I don't know what's going on, but hopefully, you know, it's just a bad time of the year or something, and it just comes to pass, and the rest of the year it ain't like that.
Yeah, it seems like it's been a really bad avalanche for fighters, man. It just keeps going, and I'm hoping that it's just finally stopped with Vernon Forrest, who, you know, who was training for his next fight. You know, and I was trying to get him on. I was trying to get a hold of Buddy McGirt to get him on the radio, and this is just pretty bad, you know. And you know, and I want to kind of mention something, man. I don't want to, you know, seem that I'm coming down actually, he's a friend of mine that did put up the video of the incident, but you know, when I saw this, and I saw a lot of other people putting up the actual tape that was up on the news. I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me, but I just thought that was a little tacky to be putting it on YouTube. I mean, if I was a family member of Vernon Forrest, I don't want to see that over and over and over. You know what I mean? I want to see the guy rest in peace and, you know, be able to mourn, you know, in my own way. I don't know. What do you think, David?
Well, I feel the same way. I mean, That kind of stuff belongs in the evidence box, you know what I mean? Me, just like a guy on the internet, I have no business seeing, you know, what actually happened. It doesn't really concern me, and I personally don't want to see it. Some people out there are fascinated by this kind of thing, but I certainly wouldn't take it and put it up anywhere, you see what I mean, in order to try to get numbers for myself. That's not the kind of stuff I'm into. So that's my opinion. I don't know. Other people might care. Obviously, people click on it. It's what it is.
Yeah, and I hope, because I know one of the guys, you know, that's part of our community. He did do it, and I hope he doesn't think that I'm taking a jab at him about this and stuff, because I'm really not, brother. I'm pretty sure you had your reasons on why I'm doing it, you know, so I want to make sure I clarify that. But I didn't watch it. I saw it on there, you know, when you log on to your YouTube site, it comes up automatically. And as soon as I saw that, I just kind of cringed. I'm like, oh, man, why? Don't do that. Don't do that. And then I saw other people doing it. And I was just, I don't know, it just seemed like it's bad taste. Chris, you know, Chris always is the man of reasoning. He's the guy, he won't hold any punches and tell me what he thinks. Am I wrong, Chris?
I see your perspective. I see your point of view. In a way, I disagree only because I watched America's Most Wanted last Saturday night, and they showed the footage on there, you know. Obviously, they have, I don't know if the agenda's the same. But their agenda in showing is to help try to capture the suspects. And one of the suspects, the one that was featured, that was caught on videotape, already turned himself in, I think, based off of that. So, in a way, it's beneficial. You know, it got the guy's face out there exposed, and he turned himself in, you know, because he knew he was going to get caught. So, I can obviously make a case for it being put up there in a positive way, the way things have turned out so far.
Well, maybe that's what it is, too. You know, somebody's got a lot of wind in their phone. I don't know who it is, but I call it, maybe, I mean, like I said, I didn't even bother watching the video. Maybe that's what it was. If this was a a video of trying to find the people that did it, because, you know, the agenda of America Most Wanted is obviously to catch the perpetrators that did this. So that I can understand, you know, but if it's just to put up because it makes good entertainment sense, then it was just bad taste. And like I said, this is not to this particular person, because this particular person, I do know them, and I know their intention was not that, you know, and I'm not going to mention the name, because then right away, it always gets taken out of context when I say something for some reason, you know. Strikeheart, what is your whole take about Mr. Vernon Forrest's passing, brother?
Oh, it's just another sad chapter, and I think that, you know, this is a problem that extends far beyond boxing. It's just, I think Blood articulated in his video pretty well. The state of things right now is it's hard to make an honest buck, and this is the kind of stuff that happens as a result. So it's just sad. The sooner this stuff turns around, the better off we all are.
Absolutely, man. It's always a sad day when you see a fellow brother in the boxing game that falls, man. And you know, you just, you know, you can only have your prayers out for their family and stuff. Luis, are you back on the line, brother? No, okay, he's not back on the line yet. I think they're trying to set up, because I believe we're going to have Luis be the translator for us, fellas, you know, because, you know, I know a lot of us are on here are English-speaking only and stuff, so just to make it fair. And then I obviously don't want to mess up any of Casamayor's answers to any of the questions we got for him and stuff, but I am excited about having El Cepillo on the line. This is a guy that I always enjoyed watching. And after his fight with Casamayor, I was, you know, sitting there saying, man, I hope he doesn't, you know, retire and stuff, because he did give a valiant fight for that fight when they did step into the ring, man. And this was a guy that I enjoy watching his style, you know, a slick guy, he got power. And it seemed like the older he got, the stronger he became, you know. He just seemed to be able to bang out some guys and really understand that he needed to knock dudes out to keep his name in the circuit of boxing and stuff. So, you know, so I'm, like I said, I'm excited about having him on. Next week we got a good show coming up too. I did talk to Henry Ramirez, who's the head coach of Chris the Nightmare Oriella, confirmed him fighting Vitaly Klitschko. I definitely want to know David Chen's take about it, and Chris and Strikeheart. First, let's go with David Chen. Who wins the fight, man, and why?
I think Vitaly is going to beat him up, man. I like Chris and everything, but I don't think he's going to be able to reach Vitaly Klitschko. And see, it's interesting. It's just a matter of when is he going to knock Chris out. It sounds mean, but that's how I look at it right now.
Right. But you know what? Chris is not that short of a guy, though, Dave. I mean, he's, what, 6'3", 6'4"? More realistically, probably 6'3", you know. And you don't think Chris has a puncher's chance? I mean, this is a guy that does throw an uppercut in the game that a lot of heavyweights don't even use.
He does have very powerful punches, but you saw how Vitaly would take flesh shots from Lennox Lewis, and they kept coming in their fight. So puncher chance or not, it's not really going to be something that determines a fight against Vitaly. Vitaly is one of those guys that you need to go into a war, one of those old-school fights, and drag him into the deep end and try to beat him that way. There's really no shortcuts to beating somebody like Vitaly. It's not really a good matchup, because I think if it's a really slick fighter, he can probably out-hustle Vitaly Klitschko. But if you're going to go tit-for-tat with him, you're going to be victim to his power. And it's not really the height difference, but I think it's his whole, just, you know, his arm length and his back step.
How he controls his business.
His legs. You know, he's so tall in his legs that he can just throw his punches and take one step back, and then most people would miss him just based on that. It's really hard to fight against a guy that way.
You know what? I don't know. I'm on the fence in this fight here, man. I mean, I'm pulling for the Nightmare, obviously, because, you know, I want to see something new and fresh, young, get in there. And to me, if Chris could pull this off, we're going to see bigger fights. 916 out of Sacramento. Chris, what's your take about it, brother? Are you on the fence? Are you with David Chen here, with Vitaly, who obviously is the more sound fighter? I got to agree on that. Much more sound fighter and stuff. But it's not as talented as his younger brother. But what do you think?
All right. Yeah, I think Vitaly Klitschko is the favorite. I do think he's going to win, but I'm going to play devil's advocate just for argument's sake and make a case for Chris Areola. I think that a lot of us are judging Klitschko, Vitaly, that is, based off his recent performances over Gomez and Samuel Peter, you know, two fights since he's come back. Those guys didn't offer much opposition at all. Now, granted, Vitaly dominated them, but especially Sam Peter, he didn't really...
Hello?
Oh, I didn't know. Is he talking to you now, Dave, or what?
I have no idea. Yeah, I'm trying to hear. I don't know.
Hey, guys.
Luis?
Yeah, you guys want to bring him in now?
Yeah, bring him on in, brother.
Can you guys connect from there?
No, I don't see his number coming up. You know that.
1 second.
You want to put him on speakerphone? You got a speakerphone on your phone?
No, give me 1 second. Let me get the number.
Get a few more minutes, brothers, and then we'll get them on the line. I see a couple of other callers really calling in and stuff, and just hold up with us, and we'll get this going. And then we'll be able to get Sophia, start asking him some questions, find out what's going on. We got Luis de Cupas on the line also, who... is a major player in the boxing game. He's got all the Cuban fighters under his belt right now. He's directing their careers, which is pretty exciting, you know, because, you know, the Cubans are making a huge, huge impact in boxing right now, man. I mean, they're bringing it, you know what I'm saying? I think these are the turning the table and stuff, you know. It always switches. It goes from the Mexicans to the Puerto Rican. Now it's the Cubans' time right here in the millennium, I'm thinking. You know, Chris, what do you think?
No, yeah, these guys are being showcased a lot on ESPN, these amateur stars coming over, you know. It kind of gives us a glimpse of, you know, it's unfortunate that a lot of these guys haven't been able to come over in the past because, you know, Castro and the way things are run over there. But, you know, better late than ever.
Absolutely, man. And you think like about the Cuban fighters right now, they're sitting on their punches. You know, you got Gamboa, who obviously is the sensation out of everybody right now. But then you got the other guys that are prospects, but they're making major, major fireworks in the boxing game and keeping you, you know, excited. And you know, thing too, I think we got, hold on, okay, let me make sure. Joel, are you there? Casa Mayor? No, he hung up. We lost him. Okay, we'll wait for him to call back. And Luis also has the twins, the Vasquez brothers. I don't know if you guys saw them last week on ESPN. You know, one of the brothers was, you know, having his way. Other brother was in the war and didn't stop, man. He kept going at it and stuff. Let me see if he's back on the line. Hold on, guys. Casa Mayor, are you on the line, brother?
Hey, un momento. Hello.
Hello.
Sí, sí.
Joel, ¿cómo estás?
Hey, ¿cómo estás? Bien, bien. Estamos bien, bien.
Bien, ¿cómo estás? Bien. ¿Ahorita estás en Miami o qué?
No, estoy aquí en La Vega entrenando. Estoy aquí en La Vega entrenando.
All right. Okay. Well, Luis is going to be our interpreter, guys, and then we're going to ask Joel a quick question. First off, Luis, I want to ask Joel, you know, is when is he making his comeback fight, and what are his plans? Is he planning just to come back for one or two fights or a little more?
Sabio, la pregunta es si cuándo tú vas a hacer tu regreso al ring y si tú piensas hacer una cuanta pelea o qué tú piensas hacer.
Bueno, tú sabes, nosotros estamos esperando, la respuesta de la gente con el boy, que me están buscando una fecha para pelear y necesitamos para atrás, para pelear en 150 libras. Estamos listos, estamos entrenando, estamos listos para cualquiera.
Because right now we're just waiting for Golden Boy and, you know, Eric Gomez just to get back to us with the fight. We're waiting. Joel's already in Vegas training. He's feeling good, and we're looking maybe October, November. We're just waiting to see what happens. Maybe at 140 pounds for a title. So we're just crossing our fingers.
Now this is a unified champion here. I mean, he's obviously has his pick of who he wants to fight. So right now at this moment, he just saw he could look at the crops. Who exactly does he want? Does he want a rematch with Marquez, or does he want to fight somebody that's one of the top guys, or he's looking for a tune-up fight?
Ese pío dice que tú eres un clase de pelear donde tú puedes pelear en cualquiera en estos momentos. ¿Te gustaría la revancha con Márquez? ¿Te gustaría una pelea de campeonato? ¿O te gustaría pelear un suave ahora?
En este momento yo estoy esperando a lo mejor el papel en el peso mío, ¿entiendes? Yo estoy esperando, ojalá peleen más que conmigo. Yo peleo con todo, yo peleo con cualquiera. Tú sabes, estamos ready, estamos listos para eso. Cualquiera, man, que venga.
He said he's ready to go. You know, Marcus got his fight in September, but hopefully we could come up to 140 pounds, win the title. You know, if things don't go right for Marcus, we wish him the best. But if they don't go wrong, that's the fight we want after this one. But we're just prepared to fight someone for. We want to fight for a world title our next fight. Joel Castaneda doesn't want to know right now at this point in his career.
You got Timothy Bradley right now, who just beat Nate Campbell. Nate Campbell's a guy that he beat. Is he possibly looking at Timothy Bradley, hopefully getting in the ring and taking his title away?
¿Te gustaría pelear con Timothy Bradley, que el chamaco que peleó con Campbell el otro día, haciendo 40 libras para el título?
Oye, dile que yo soy un campeón, que yo peleo con cualquiera. Nada más que te perdón que la gente cuando me den la fecha y todo esto para Campbell, para Nacanza, quien sea, tú sabes cómo somos guerreros. Estamos listos. Lo que yo creo que la gente de Ericón cuando voy, me da la fecha de pelea y me da para el título. Vamos a pasar 50 libros, vamos a meter mano ahí. Ya llegó el rey en esa división allá, que soy yo.
He says he's a warrior. He don't care who you put in front of him. He just wants Golden Boy, you know, to make the right fight. They're a promoter, and he's just waiting for them to come back to him. Once they come back to him, he'll fight anybody. He's a warrior. If it's Timothy Bradley, 140 pounds, or it's Medina, or it's even Amir Khan right now, it doesn't matter who it is. But we're gonna take a 140 pound title. We're just gonna put the date and forget about everything else.
Absolutely, brother. You know, I got one more question before I pass it on to the rest of the panel, the guys, Luis. He's obviously, man, has paved the road for the Cuban fighters now. You know, like Gamboa, et cetera, you know, you got the Vasquez twin brothers and stuff. Do they pay homage to him, knowing that he's kind of opened up the doors and made it more accessible for them to be superstars in this boxing game, being that he's one of the best Cuban fighters to date?
Ese pío quiere hacerte la pregunta si tú sabes que tú abriste la puerta para todos los cubanos, todos los chamacos que son buenos ahora, como Gamboa, Lara, y todos los chamacos que están subiendo, que tú abriste la puerta para ellos. Si tú piensas que ellos reconocen eso y cómo tú te sientes eso y ya.
Bueno, eso lo saben todo el mundo, que eso es mejor, ¿entiendes? Eso es todo el mundo que yo le abrí la puerta a los cubanos. Y como te digo, me siento contento que hayan venido ellos, pero ojalá que ellos hagan me digan la meta que he hecho yo o pasen. Pero de este momento yo estoy enfocado en mi carrera, me quedan 3 o 4 peleas y la derrota que tuve, yo estoy tengo más experiencia y estoy más enfocado en lo mío ahora, ¿entiendes? Somos peleadores, pero yo estoy enfocado en mi pelea ahora que venga, convenga. Lo que quiero que me enfeche pelea para pelear, para demostrarle al mundo que soy el mejor del mundo.
Yeah, he definitely feels you after the Castro agency was the guy that opened the doors, but I mean, he doesn't look at it that way. I mean, if people know he's the best, it's everyone's opinion. But I mean, he definitely feels happy for all the kids that are coming up now. You know, a lot of these kids are coming in now winning world titles, and he definitely shows support. But he's real focused right now in his fight, and after his career is over, you know, in 2 years or something like that, he's definitely gonna show more support. But I mean, right now he's focused on his career, but he definitely feels that a lot of these kids are real good fighters, and they're gonna be world champions.
So in other words, right now he's looking at it as like, I'm not done yet, so don't look at me like that, because yeah. I still got a lot more to prove, right?
Exactly. That's exactly feeling. That's the exact feeling, you know?
Absolutely. That I respect that. I understand. That's great. You know? Let's pass it on to 916 Chris out of Sacramento. Go ahead and ask Sopio Casamayor, brother, your question.
Yeah, I was just curious. Is there any particular reason why he's moving up, looking to move up to junior welterweight from lightweight?
Dice Pío, está preguntando si qué razón tú te sientes que tú te vas a mover a 140 de lightweight, porque te estás subiendo.
No, porque yo estoy jugando a los grandes peleadores, porque ya en lightweight ya no hay peleador que me haga fuerza a mí, y ahí no hay nadie. Entonces yo estoy jugando, me siento fuerte, me siento hambriento, me siento con deseo de coger un título en 50 libras para meter a la gente que soy el mejor libra por libra. Hasta lo siempre lo he demostrado yo.
He wants to just keep proving that he could do the undoable. He won a title at 130, 35. Now we're trying to win one at 140, which will be his fifth world title in 3 different weight classes. And basically, be honest with you, at 135 pounds, there's no one out there. I mean, except Valero turned us down. We had the fight ready to go. We accepted it. Supposedly, he accepted it. he didn't want to fight, so we just feel 140 pounds is the right move to go right now with all these kids coming up.
Okay. All right. So, actually, I was going to ask. It's funny that you mentioned that. I was going to ask about Valero's a possible opponent. So you're telling me that you guys had Valero on the table and Valero denied you guys?
Oh, we're on the table. We were supposed to have, a date set. Valero supposedly said yes, he accepted. The contracts, we were ready to do the contracts. I don't know what happened. I mean, talks disappeared. But, I mean, we was ready to fight Valero wherever we had to fight him.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, thank you. That's a good bit of information.
Luis, obviously you're a major part of that. Is that frustrating knowing, man? I mean, you've got something right on the table. You think it's a done deal. You know, you're preparing. Your guy's out there. He goes in training camp. He gets away from his family. How frustrating can that be in your guys' part?
Nah, it could be. It's a real frustrating thing, but, I mean, it's a frustrating business. You just got to realize that you can't. You can't sit back and think about the negative things. You got to move forward and just see what's next. I mean, one thing you can't do is force a guy to fight anybody because, I mean, Joel's had that problem throughout his career. But, I mean, we just got to move forward and with the best fight out there for him, and the most money at this stage of his career because he's an older man. He's got a lot of kids to feed. We got to fight the biggest and best fights out there.
Absolutely. Chris, you have any more questions, brother?
Yeah, I just have one more question. I'm just curious because I've seen so many of Joel's fights. I'm just curious, what was his favorite fight that he's ever been in?
Sabio.
Hey.
Dice que tú tenías guerra, mucha guerra, y quería preguntarte cuál de todas las peleas teniste el mejor tiempo en todas las peleas. ¿Cuál te sentías lo mejor?
El mejor tiempo que tuve yo fue con el difunto, que ahora mismo estaba mirando yo la última pelea que ganamos aquí nosotros aquí en La Vega. Ese ha sido el mejor tiempo que tuve yo con el pelea 13 con el difunto Rale, y que en paz descanse, y estamos listos. Y él me dio esa fuerza para coger otro título mundial y vamos a pelear en 50 libras, ¿entiendes? Ese es el mejor tiempo que tuve yo conmigo. Me siento bien para todo grande. Me siento bien para todo grande, para pelear como grande.
Man, he said that the greatest fight he has and most of the fights he only remembers is his trilogy with Diego Corrales. God rest his soul. He says he was a great champion. And two great champions make fight each other, they make great fights. And he says one thing he always tells people is that Diego's not dead. He fights on with him every fight. So he just wants to let people know that that's three fights he remembers is the Corrales fight. No other fight really pops to his head.
Wow, that's great. David Chan, go ahead, brother, and ask a question to the great Sabil.
Good evening, Luis. Good evening, Joel. My question for Mr. Casamayor is, having been in the ring with Juan Manuel Marquez, from his perspective, what would be Marquez's strengths versus his weaknesses? And if you were to find Marquez in the ring with him again, would he do anything differently?
Dice como tú peleaste con Marquez, ¿para qué tú pensabas era la cosa fuerte que él hizo y los weaknesses de él? Y si cogiste la revancha, ¿qué tú haces diferente en la pelea?
No, prepararme mejor mentalmente y como te digo, me cogió por un balance, me dio un golpe y me noqueó. Pero si yo quiere, yo sentía, no sentía el golpe de él, me confié y yo estaba hablando con un 126 libras. Pero si él, ya que el boxeador dice un pingú, él si yo quiere, peleamos no, él me revancha. El tema es el lento, el cabezón.
No, Marcus, he's a great fighter. He feels what he did do wrong in the fight is he got a little overconfident and he felt he had to push the pressure and he got caught with the punch and
I guess the law.
Happens to anybody, but he says one thing, he'll love to get the rematch and to prove to everyone he is a better fighter than Marquez and we'll do a trilogy.
Any other question, David Chen?
Ah, mi sueño, yo queremos pelear, ya me arregó, me queremos pelear.
One more question, quick one. Of all the new Cuban prospects, Yorkis Gamboa, Erislan de Lara, Guillermo Rigondo, which one of these guys does he like the most? Does he think will have the biggest chance of going the farthest?
Oh, it's a big...
Ah.
They said de todos los prospectos ahora cubanos estos ahora que están subiendo, ¿para quién tú crees que va a ser el mejor de todos? Gamboa, Lara, Solís...
Para mí, para todo va a ser que yo veo que tiene... Si sigue así, tiene talento, para mí es redondeado. Él va a ser un campeón y yo creo que ese que va a seguir mi línea.
Hey, he says out of all the guys he sees redondeado, a real, real sharp fighter, real good fighter. He sees it. He says if he keeps up how he's doing, he keeps training hard, out there in California, he could go by the same road he took.
Let me ask you, Joel, real quick. I want to know, you know, he just mentioned right now with Marquez that he just got a little bit overconfident. And normally he never loses his cool in any fight. Why did he feel he needed to go out with a bang in that fight and make those mistakes?
Dice que tú lo hablaste, que fallaste un poco, te pusiste muy confiado en la pelea con Mark, y dice que eso nunca te pasa. ¿Por qué tú te sentiste la presión a seguir por el knockout esa noche?
No, porque era un boxeador muy lento, un boxeador que usó el patrón y muy lento, y para adelante, y tiene, un boxeador lento, y me relajé mucho, ¿entiendes? Pero así poseo, ¿entiendes? Poseo como un bebé, hasta la vuelta no hay nada, pero yo estoy ahora más fuerte mentalmente y tengo hambre y quiero volver para el ring para demostrar que soy mejor que él y mejor que mucho cuanto cae ahí, y vamos a pelear, ¿entiendes?
Yeah, he said, it doesn't happen too much, but I mean, he thought Mark was a little slow, he saw him a little smaller, he got a little confident. And basically, you know, also when you're fighting on Mexican Independence Day against one of the best Mexican fighters in the world, again, with 8,000 Mexicans in the arena, you really gotta bring your game and you gotta step it up. On top of it, it was my first pay-per-view, and I really wanted to fight a war. I mean, Marcus said he was gonna stand there and fight, and he didn't. I mean, for the first time, I lost my cool, and look, I paid for it. But I mean, I just want to prove I'm a better fighter than him. That's all I gotta do.
You know, he's been calling out for years, way back, you know, Mayweather. He wanted Mayweather for some time. Now he's seen Marquez, his rival, fighting him. Does he still ever think about, man, I want my opportunity at Floyd?
Dice que mucho tiempo atrás tú querías pelear con Mayweather. Y nunca quería pelear contigo. Ahora tú ves que Marquez está cogiendo chances. Tú, a veces que tú piensas, depende, yo quiero mi chance también.
Exacto, yo, porque ese chance era mío, lo que pasa es que me relajé y se dieron a él, pero ese chance era mío, pero no importa, estamos para adelante y yo vine a pelear, ¿entiendes? Yo me voy.
Y se.
Oye, Lucito, y me voy a lo que vale porque sabe que es un buen salón milagro y que le gana fácil, ¿entiendes? Es un buen salón que no tiene nada, ¿entiendes?
Y
le da que la piñata por la cabeza.
He said that Marcus fight he's fighting is my fight. That's my fight. That's the fight I was supposed to be fighting. But I mean, hey, that's the way the apple turns. And sometimes you just gotta bounce back. We can't look back. We gotta go forward. I mean, if God is good, we'll get the chance back to let the people know.
Justin Strikehart, go ahead and ask your question, brother. Casamayor, please.
Sure. It's like a two-parter. It sounds like almost like Casamayor feels like he gave that fight up, but I just wanted him to clarify a little bit. Was he surprised at how well Marquez was able to adjust over the second half of the fight? Because clearly Casamayor was in control for the first half. And at this point now that he did barely lose, although it was a TKO, it was very close, does he feel like he's being written off by the boxing community?
Dice que en la pelea tuya con Márquez, si tuviste como en el primer parte de la pelea tú estabas ganando, el segundo cambió un poco, empezó a boxear un poco más, y dices de afuera que tú perdiste una pelea bien seca, y tú, si tú piensas como boxeo, te están riendo un poco afuera ahora después de esa pérdida.
No, yo creo que no, si ahora que cuando me encontraba con más hambre, con más experiencia, y como digo, yo quiero fecha de pelea, que yo estoy llamando a mi promotor, quiero pelear, yo vengo para atrás fuerte, yo quiero pelear, que me den fecha de pelea y quiero pelear. La gente está en boxeo, me quieren ver de nuevo arriba ring, ¿entiendes? Me conocen, me quieren ver arriba ring, solo estoy esperando una fecha, quiero pelear con los mejores.
Yeah, he says, to be honest with you, I mean, it gets a little irritating asking the questions like that, but he just says he wants to get in the ring. He wants to fight. He wants to get that past him. You know, it feels like if he really feels like, you know, some people don't respect what you did in the past, don't you remember your last fight? That's the way it is, though. You know, so I mean, that's the way boxing is. But you know what? Just get me in that ring. I want to show you I'm hungry. I want to fight. That's all I want to do. I want to fight.
That's what we like to hear.
Got another question there, Strikehart?
I'm a little bit interested, too, at the Michael Katsidis fight. Was he surprised, because he had put him down twice, I believe it was in the first or second round in that fight. Was he surprised that Katsidis was able to continue to get up over and over again right at the beginning of that fight? Or was that something that he wasn't too surprised about?
Sabio.
Hey.
Hey. Él dice que la pelea tuya con Michael Katsidis era una grande pelea, tremenda pelea, y siempre quiero preguntarte que te sorprendió un poco que Blanco se levantó después esos dos knockdown en primer round, si te sorprendió un poco.
No, sí, emoción muy fuerte, emoción joven, en vez de, pero emoción que yo lo acabé, ya no sirve para nada. Ya no sirve antes, emoción que vino y se confió y chocó la mano conmigo y dice, ya no sirve, ya lo mismo.
It surprised my first. I mean, like, the kid was a young line undefeated guy, but I mean, he crossed the wrong path, and I feel like, I mean, he's a good little fighter, but I mean, I hate to fight guys like that. I felt like I ruined his career that night, but I mean, it was a great fight.
It was.
I got a question for Cosmo really quick. It sounds like, man, the motivation is a little bit of the bitterness of what fight fans have been saying about him, or media-wise have been saying about him. That sounds like that's what he's using to fuel up himself to get back into the ring just to prove. And does he feel, hey, this is a good thing for him because it gets him back in the gear and wanting to prove that he's still one of the best fighters out to date?
Dice que tú ves que tú estás cogiendo mucho inspiración ahora después de todo esto y como tú quieres enseñar a todo el mundo que tú todavía eres uno de los mejores boxeadores del mundo.
Exacto, sí, yo quiero pelear y me confío y quiero pelear. Y yo sé que doy más y se lo voy a mostrar ahora en 50 libras, yo quiero pelear, vamos a pelear. Ahora vengo peor porque nunca he perdido por nocaut y ahora vengo más peligroso, vengo yo ahora.
He says now he feels he's a lot sharper right now. He wants to fight. He's got no other thing but to say, you know, it's not inspiration, it's not nothing. I just want to fight. I want to get in that ring. I want to just show you guys that the customer always reverses the time, and you're like, fine, why? We always come back strong. So I mean, come October, November, hopefully we're in this ring, and we'll be back in early next year defending our title.
Does he look back at any of the fights? Like the does he watch the Marquez fight? Does he watch it? And does he study it? And does he try to go back into the ring? And you know, like right now, going back in training camp, what are the particular things that he's working on to make sure he doesn't fall into the trap he let himself into last time?
Sí, que tú estás haciendo diferente ahora, como tú te sientes, que tú estás haciendo diferente en este campamento ahora para enseñar a todo el mundo que tú eres mejor y cómo tú estás entrenando.
No, te meto bien fuerte, me siento con hambre, yo cambié mi plan de carrera, me estoy moviendo para un lado, entonces entrenando al lado, estoy más fuerte, me siento más fuerte porque estoy en un peso más que me siento bien y estamos porque vamos a pelear, yo estoy bien, me siento bien y con hambre de que la gente de boxeo me vean a mí en el ring a mí de nuevo.
He says he just wants to be able to open the ring up to him again. He wants to show everyone that he's a lot stronger at 140 pounds right now. He's working hard. He's out there in Vegas. He's running every day, and he's getting ready. I mean, he's getting ready.
Lo digo
la sorpresa del entrenador o no todavía.
No, todavía. Yeah, forget about it. Yeah, go. Dile. Tengo un nuevo team.
Joel's training out there now in Vegas. He's got a Mr. Whistler. He's a conditioning guy now out there. He's a real good conditioning. Now we just started working with we gave Joel Judah a shot to show us what he's got. Joel Judah's out there training Joel in Vegas. That's something new.
Yeah. Y que estamos bien, me siento bien con él, me siento cómodo con él y él me sabe. Y tú me has fincado los golpes, ¿entiendes?
He feels very comfortable. Joel's very good with southpaws, and he's sitting on a lot more on his punches.
Absolutely. You know, Joel's never been shy, brother, of ever voicing his opinion about particular fighters. If I can ask him, if I can throw out a name of a few fighters, can he tell me his honest opinion, what he thinks about these guys, if he possibly steps into the ring? First name at 140, obviously, is Amir Khan. What does he think of the kid? And you know, like I said, he's known not to hold back punches, so the name of the show is Leaving the Ring.
Se abrió, quiero hacerte unas cuantas preguntas de unos peleadores ahí que estaban fuera ahora y que tú piensas el corazón de ellos y que tú, cómo va la pelea contigo. El primero es American, el árabe que peleó.
Sí. ¿Qué yo quiero ver de ese?
Quiero preguntarte que si tú peleas con él, ¿cómo tú crees esa pelea afuera?
Mira, él es muy joven, él para mí no tiene experiencia. Y si, ojalá, si quiera pelear, yo lo pelearía en el TRA, allá se lo choco ya mismo, ¿entiendes? Él empezó a que no tiene recursos, pero si quiere pelear conmigo, vamos para el TRA, ahí me lo... Y lo clavo en 4 o 5 rounds, te lo clavo.
He's a young kid, he don't got too much experience, I think it would be the wrong move to even think about fighting me. I if he wants to, if he'll fight 1-1, I'll go across the sea and I'll go fight him in England. I mean, if that's what they want to do, we'll do that. He definitely feels that the American doesn't go the distance with him.
Luisito, dile que yo quiero peleadores, yo quiero gente de boxeadores, yo quiero boxeadores de la pelear.
Yeah. He says he wants to fight. That's all he wants to do, get in the ring, he wants to fight.
No, baby.
I know he wants to fight. I just want to know what he thinks about these certain fighters, you know. Amir Khan, and you also, how about another guy by the name of Durango? What does he think about Durango? Would he step into the ring with a Durango?
Durango never was up for me. Ahí no me a mí no me importa a mí, no me interesa, ¿entiendes? Es un boxeador de media clase, a mí no me importa el boxeador.
He says Durango's a world champion, but he doesn't feel like he's the top level class, he's a middle class fighter. But I mean, he feels like all he has to do, all he's doing there is stealing the title. I mean, he's not really doing nothing for his name or for his Hall of Fame ballot.
You know, you got Manny Pacquiao fighting Miguel Cotto. Manny is that a guy he would like to gear up against? And what does he think about Manny Pacquiao at 140?
Dice si tú vas a buscar tu título 140 después que tú piensas una pelea con tú y Manny Pacquiao, si puede ser, y que tú piensas Manny Pacquiao.
No, es buen peleador, esa pelea que yo estoy buscando. Pero si puede ser, yo es un peleador que aprende mucho, un peleador que ha mejorado su técnica, mucho que entiende. Es una pelea que yo estoy buscando, pero bueno, si pudiera, yo, aunque yo sé que no se puede, pero... Ahora está hablando, ¿entiendes? Pero sí. Si pudiera... Ahora estoy hablando ahora de calidad de buceo. Ahí sí, ¿entiendes? Está hablando de calidad de buceo. No está hablando de buceadores mediocres. Ahora sí está hablando de buceadores de calidad, ¿entiendes?
He says, now you're talking about fighters of class now. You're talking about, you know what I'm saying? He says, I mean, what can I say about Manny Pacquiao? I mean, I've said what I said in the past, but he's proved it over and over. He's a great fighter. I think if I could catch a 100-pound, 140-pound title, why not? Let's do it. It's a fight that I've always wanted. He's improved his skills a lot. And I still think it's something attractive. If I could come back and show the world like I did against Calcides, like I did against Corrales, and like I did in past fights, and I win another world title, I think it's an attractive fight. But I don't think it's really a possibility. But you know what? I'd love to fight Pacquiao. He's a great fighter.
Does it upset him that they overlooked him? At 135, they went after David Diaz. And obviously, he was the man at 135 at that time. Does it kind of tick him off a little bit knowing that this big fight with Manny Pacquiao could have happened at that time, but instead they chose not to go after him.
Dice que tú sientes como que te brincó y fue peleó con David Diaz, no quería pelear contigo. Por ese tiempo tú eras el hombre 135 y no quería pelear contigo. ¿Qué tú crees de eso?
No, pues su gente, como te digo, a él lo están protegiendo mucho. Mira, la gente piensa que pero la gente no quiere pelear conmigo, hablan de mí. Los protegidos no quieren pelear conmigo, la ley no quiere pelear conmigo, ¿entiendes? Son así.
He says that, I mean, that's the way boxing is. He suffered from his whole career. I mean, what can he do? His people and his promoters know the business, and they know that it was a big mistake throwing him in there against me. So, I mean, it didn't happen. So, I mean, what can I do? I look for
him. You know, him stepping in, whoever he steps in with the ring, can he give us his prediction of what is going to happen? I mean, I'm a betting man, so do I bet for him KOing his opponent, or is he going to go back to his old style and just be a slick counterpuncher?
Dice un tipo que le gusta apostarle la pelea. Quiere hacer la próxima pelea tuya como la apuesta para ti, voy a apostar para ti. Si tú vas a ser un boxeador que tú vas a tratar el estilo tuyo de boxeo lindo o tú vas para afuera a chocar.
No, yo voy a ser... Tú más fuerte y tú estás parado. Tú más fingado en los golpes. Tú más fuerte y tú más seguro de mí. Yo vamos a meter mano. Me siento seguro de mí y de fuerza.
Real strong right now. And if you're a betting man, bet for...
Tengo diferente. Un cepillo diferente. Diferente.
Another cepillo now that he's going to switch up. Switch his style a little more. Sit more on his punches. And the guy feel his power. And basically, if he could bet in your place, he would bet a knockout.
Absolutely, brother. Tell Casimiro, gracias mucho for being on the show.
Gracias.
Really greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. I'm a big fan of yours.
Llama a Eric Gómez, que me fecha. Eric Gómez con The Boy. Go, porque le dice, ¿qué pasó con Casamayor? Casamayor quiere pelea. El campeón. Yeah, call the Golden Boy.
All right.
Dime.
Yeah, okay. Is that everything?
Thank you. Yeah, man, I appreciate it again, Luis.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much,
brother.
Thank you, brother.
Anytime, all right?
All right, brother, man.
All right,
I'm going to leave.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Casamayor. And also, thank you again to Luis for calling in and having him on, man. That was great. You know, I tell you guys, I knew I could interpret him, man, because Cubano, they speak a lot different than the way Mexicans, especially Mexican Americans, the way we talk. So, and his Spanish is just super fast. I mean, Chris, I don't know, Chris, do you speak Spanish?
No, man. I wish you would even ask me. No, man, I don't speak it. I know a little bit, but I definitely could.
You know, speak Espanol? You know, speak a Nintendo?
Okay. Okay.
Well, you know, having him on the line and having the chance to speak to Gamboa, you know, which I don't think he's going to be on and stuff, because he would have been on with Casamayor. I think, you know, I kind of gave him a late notice about trying to get a Cyclone on the show and stuff, but we'll get him on and all that. I'm getting to know Luis pretty good and stuff. But having the chance to talk to both these guys, you know, you got to be on your toes, man, in your Spanish, because they speak so fast. I was just able to catch like little bits in here from them and stuff, you know. But he was pretty respectful, man. But you could tell that he was a little frustrated, and you know, Strikeheart, or I think it was Strikeheart who asked the question,
oh, yeah.
Or was it Chris? Who?
No, it was me.
Yeah, it was you. They asked a question about him being written off. He didn't like that question at all.
It's kind of cool, though. I don't mind that I irritated Casamayor, you know. It's kind of cool that I was able to do that.
Absolutely, man, you know. And I don't think he got irritated with you asking the question. I think he just got kind of, you know, irritated that fight fans, you know, we're unforgiving, man. I mean, let's go back to last Saturday night. You had Nate Campbell versus Timothy Bradley. You know, Justin obviously put his take and his feelings on his channel on YouTube. You know, what's bothering me, Strikeheart? I put my take. And on that night of the fight, even my brother Blood, who's not on the line with us and stuff, he's got some stuff he's got to do with work. I'm sorry, man. I'm going to drink your water, so they're giving me gas and sound burping and shit while we're on the line. But, you know, people calling him up or even sending him, you know, emails in his inbox, heckling him, like, oh, what'd you think about your boy, you know, Nate Campbell now, and this and this and that. And it's funny because even my man Blood was not really, I don't think he was really completely sold. I think he was hoping that Nate Campbell would win, but I don't think he was really in real belief that he was going to win that fight. But going back to how unforgiving fight fans are, is now this happened to Nate Campbell, he's been completely written off. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment to say about, you know, Nate Campbell right now, after having that big cut over his eye, and now guys are saying he's shot. I mean, I don't know. I mean, did he look shot, David Chen, to you?
Not at all. I thought Nate was fighting the way he generally fights. You know, like he said afterwards, he's a slow fighter. He sets things up. He plans for the long run. He generally loses the first three rounds of his fights. I mean, he wasn't getting hurt in the first two rounds. The only time he got hurt was the headbutt itself. Afterwards, he still covered himself and protected himself on those flurries and stuff like that. The only time he got hurt was the headbutt and the couple follow-up punches. So I don't know what these people are saying. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, he would have lost the fight anyway. Timothy was on his way of knocking him out. I said, how can you know after watching three fights? Where are these people's boxing crystal balls before the fights? You see what I mean? Where are they getting this knowledge from? That's not what I'm seeing.
Absolutely. I mean, but, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've even mentioned this before. You know, fight fans to me is people, well, casual fans. Let's not even put the whole word in you know, hardcore fans. Casual fans are more comfortable when they see a guy winning, and their money's safe on that. You know what I'm saying? So they seem to predict the future every time out. You know, oh, well, this is the reason why he's going to win, blah, blah, blah. And I think, and I, you know, after that fight happened, you know, like I said, Blood gave me a call right away. He's like, man, what you think, bro? And I was even telling, you know, Strikeheart here, and I've told a few other people, I really felt like we were actually stolen away from the moment. We had that moment stolen away from us, because just like right now you mentioned, David Chan, that, you know, he's a slow starter. Was this a veteran move that he was doing, like he did with Ali Funika? You know, stay tight, let this guy throw all these punches, and then try to catch him with a big punch? Or didn't Timothy Bradley's game plan just a little bit too much, too fast? The youth was a little too hard on him, where it was going to make him just shut down and shell up, you know? I don't know. And I think that's the thing, is that we got that being stopped on the third round going into the fourth. It's been taken away from us, so we'll never know. So should there be a rematch? I think so. I think the call should be overturned, you know, to a no decision, because that would have been the right call. I think that is the right call. But would fight fans be intrigued in seeing a rematch between these two guys, when you know already a lot of people are going to say, well, for what? You know, we saw three rounds what Timothy was doing. We're going to see that again. Chris 916, what is your take?
Depends. Nate Campbell's a very polarizing figure, as we have seen. His detractors obviously won't want to see a rematch, because they're going to say he was losing the fight. He was going to lose the fight. And people that thought that it was going to be a fight of the year type fight going into it probably would want to see a rematch, because we didn't get a chance to see how it was going to go. For people that have the belief that Timothy Bradley was going to win based on the way the fight was going, I thought that, you know, as well. You know, I thought that the fight was going the way I thought it was going to go. However, we've seen in the past, most notably in Timothy's last fight against Kendall Holt, he can get a little bit reckless in there and get caught. You know, he got caught by Kendall Holt in the last round of a fight that he was completely in control of. So who's to say, you know, Nate Campbell, who's a very slick, crafty fighter himself, couldn't have caught Bradley coming in any time throughout the fight. So I think, you know, people that are saying they knew how the fight was going to play out based on those three rounds, they're kind of jumping the gun a bit, you know. And also, you know, I have to give a shout-out to Gambino, a new guy on YouTube, that said headbutts was going to play a big factor into the fight, and he was dead on. He told me that numerous times before the fight, and he called it. So, you know, that's another factor that played into it.
It was a big factor of the fight and stuff, but you can't just kind of throw it on one guy. I'm not going to say that it was just all Timothy, because it was both guys in what I saw. I mean, you saw Nate Campbell fall into the ropes, come back towards with his head, and they clashed, and that's when the big cut came about and stuff, man. But you're right about the three rounds and stuff. You know, I think if anything, Nate Campbell's a veteran guy. He was going to pull out another trick out of his sleeve and gradually just try to find the pockets that are open there for him that he can stick his hand in and take the money out of the kid's, you know, pants. That's what I was thinking. But you know what? Let's leave the table open for Strikeheart. You know, I know Strikeheart's got a lot to say about this fight. I'm really interested in hearing a little bit more. I know when you're doing the video, you got to kind of sum up as fast as you can, as much as you can in such a short time frame. And here on Leaving the Ring, this is a place where you can actually be able to vent out everything that's on your mind. So go ahead, Justin, man. Tell me, what is your take? I know you're really upset. And you even went down to saying that, you know, you lost respect for Timothy Bradley.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start there. The reason why I lost respect for Timothy Bradley is simply the fact that, you know, he portrayed himself, especially in his little ring entrance, you know, as like a little bit of a Jesus freak with his little with the rapper and all that, and you know. So if you're gonna talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. So everybody knew that it was a headbutt that stopped that fight. If you're going to come out to whatever that song was, then you got to say it was a headbutt.
But Justin, come on. I mean, the guy comes out with a Jesus song. Okay, I understand that. But what does that really mean? I mean, does that mean he's supposed to be this honest
he's
person?
Kind of, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. It means, you know, he's trying to tell us that he's a good guy, that he's Mr. Clean, Mr. Honest. So if you're going to come out and try and sell me that, then you better sell it to me when it's important, when something comes up where you could either take a sneaky way out or be honest.
So he's supposed to be
–
so in other words, let me ask you this, okay? So
yeah.
The man just won, okay? He did not make the decision. It was the ref's decision, the doctor's decision saying it's over. Now, when he was asked, even when Nate Campbell went up to him and said, you know, as a fighter, okay? And really, I think that if I was, let's just put ourselves in his position here, okay? You know, I'm going to pull a little bit of a Chris here, what Chris does and stuff. If I was in Timothy Bradley's shoes, and you're coming at me, you know, at this aggressive point, and I'm seeing, I just won, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, give me my due at least. I just won. It's not my job to rep. It's not my job to make judgment calls. I'm just a fighter. Is that not being honest?
Well, let me just let me go back to, you know, the referee and the ring doctor and all that stuff. It's in his backyard, so that takes a whole lot out of that right there, because it always makes you wonder when things like this happen, is it because it was in Timothy Bradley's backyard? So it just kind of smells funny to me in that regard.
But Justin, the only thing is, yes, you're right. It was in his backyard. But who really stopped the fight? I mean, if I remember correctly, Nate Campbell goes back to his corner and he says, you know, Jim, I can't see. And his corner tells him, relax, calm down. And he's panicking. I cannot see. So did that play a part of him being in his own backyard, or did he stab himself in the foot by saying something like that, even to the ring physician, did not allow the ring physician to look at the eye to make that judgment call? He's telling the doctor, I can't see. I see spots. You know what I'm saying? I won't crucify the guy saying it, because I feel that every fighter, hey, if you feel you got a handicap and it's going to lead for you taking more damage, you should say something. But can you say it was all just favoritism?
This is what I have to say about that.
Dave
Campbell's been a guy that's been around for how long, and we've never seen him do anything like that before. So until I see something like that happen again, I will give Nate Campbell the benefit of the doubt.
That don't make any sense, right? That still don't make any sense to me, because you just said right now that this was a house call. But when a man is saying, I cannot see, I see spots in my eye, how can that be a house call?
The house call part of the deal is when, and all of a sudden it's a punch that caused the fight-ending injury, not a headbutt, which is clearly not true. It was a headbutt, and then there was about 5-10 punches that missed and didn't hit him on the head. So that's where you start to say, you know, this is a little bit fishy. I think maybe that the referee isn't on the up and up. I don't think that I'm the only one that thinks that either. So.
No, you're not. You're not the only one that thinks that. And you know, but I, you know, I'm asking these questions because, you know, obviously you feel this way, and we got to make sure we don't get nothing, you know, misinterpret. We're getting exactly clarify of how you feel, because there's a lot of fight fans that feel the way you do, but then there's other fight fans that feel the way, I believe I got my Puerto Rican brother from Puerto Rico, Rob Ritter, on the line, right?
Yes, sir.
And we got a lot of guys that feel the way Rob Riddler feels. Go ahead, Rob. I know you wanted to talk about this. We just got into Nate Campbell versus Timothy Bradley. What was your take about that call? Was it a house call? Do you feel that the house, since it was in Timothy Bradley's backyard, everything was leaning towards Timothy, or did Nate Campbell shoot himself in the foot?
Well, first, I just want to say thanks to Chris for reminding me about the show right now. He just hit me up, and I just, wow, I have my mind sidetracked. But thanks, Chris, and now
we
about...
We just had Casamayor on, man, just about an hour ago.
Damn, I missed up. Damn, I feel like
that's
I missed
all good.
But
and this is a guy, man, that was hitting me up saying, man, where's the show at? I'm about to commit suicide. Where you guys at? Look. And now he's saying, I just remembered. I hope you were getting some, man, that made you forget that we were on today.
Yeah, I was on my way, but I took the show.
All right, go ahead, man. Give me your take about Nate Campbell, because I know you had some strong feelings. You guys both had some strong feelings. You know, Justin had, Strikehart had his feelings about Timothy. You got yours about Nate Campbell. So, go ahead. Let me hear your take about Nate Campbell about this fight.
All right. Now, first, the fight itself. Now, the decision. Yeah, all right. It should have been a no because of what happened, it should have been a no contest because of the headbutt. Until Nate decided to basically panic, he didn't let anybody work on the cut. He just instantly said, I can't continue, I can't fight. His corner was saying he was all right. You know, the doctor seemed like a little bit confused as to why he was panicking so much. You know, and he just seemed to quit the fight. Now, I feel it should have been ruled a TKO based on him quitting, but not because not you know if you want to say it should have been a no contest because of a headbutt. There's you know video footage of that, but you know I put up a video so you guys can see that if and I put it clear and high quality so it's as clear as it can be. There was no blood coming down after on his face after the headbutt, but when he came out the corner after getting hit like 300 times, then there was blood on his face. And then basically he gets rocked at the end of the round and saying he's seeing dots. Well, of course you're gonna see dots. You just got fucking rocked. You know,
the panel is open for Chris or Dave. You guys want to jump in? Even Justin, you want to jump in? You know, because you know Rob is making some points, but I know right now, Strikeheart, you want to make some points, and know you're able to throw back exactly what he's throwing at right now.
None of those punches landed with any kind of authority after the headbutt. I mean, he saw that he hurt him with the butt, and then he moved in for the kill, which is the most aggressive he got in the fight, and he couldn't even land. I mean, Nate Campbell was able to slip most of those punches, and the ones that he didn't slip, he blocked. So I didn't really see anything significant land after that headbutt.
He got rocked, though, Justin. I mean, he got rocked in the second minute and a half. I mean, you clearly saw him fall back into the ropes. So he curled up. You know what I mean? He was protecting himself.
Well,
but
yeah,
you can't say he didn't get hit. Come on.
He got rocked by a headbutt, and then he got pity-padded into the corner. Nothing. There was no significant punch. There's no way that you're going to move me from that stance.
But then one other thing I want to say is that if the cut was that bad where Nate had to panic in the corner, why didn't he not space himself from Timothy Bradley, make the referee acknowledge that he's really hurt, he cannot see, the cut is really bothering him during the round because there was plenty of time in that round for him to do that, and he did not. He just continued fighting. Then he gets rocked. By the time he got rocked, the round ended, and then he complains about his head, but once he looks in the camera, sees that his face is getting pretty messed up.
Actually, I'm gonna answer this. I actually don't agree with that because I saw Nate point to his eyes many times. At first he backed to the corner saying, my eye, because he was backing to the corner. Naturally, he figured the referee was going to call a timeout, but Timothy Bradley jumped on him. So he dug down to cover himself, and then you see him get back up, and he pointed a couple more times. But then Timothy didn't stop, and the ref didn't say anything. That's when Nate kind of just dug down, leaned himself on the ropes for a second, and saying, "Well, when am I? You know, am I supposed to fight back at the end of this round? What is going on? Am I getting a bad? You know, I think the second half of that round after he got headbutted, he's thinking in there. He's like, "What does this all mean? Is this ref trying to go to the other side on me? I think all that time he's thinking about stuff. He's thinking about the fact that things are smelling funny in the ring, and that probably led to some of the decisions he made in the corner. But I do not think that you can say that he did not appeal to the ref enough, because I think he really did. He tried a couple times, still had to deal with this guy swinging at him, throwing punches at him.
He completely took himself out of the fight for, you know, 3 to 4 seconds to try and get the referee's attention, telling me he just got headbutted. And there was a small butt in the first round, and then there was another butt in the second round, too. So the referee, to be honest, was kind of negligent. He never really took control of the fight. He never warned Timothy Bradley.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, Timothy Bradley should have had a warning in the second round. You know, watch your head, man. Didn't happen. And if the fight was to continue back to Gambino, he said 7 or 8 headbutts. It probably would have been 12 headbutts because there would have been one in every round. That's where it was going. So.
But see, the only thing, though, guys, is that, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I don't agree with you about the fact that it was Timothy headbutting. It was both of these guys leaning in to throw body shots. They both collided their heads, you know, and that happens in boxing. I mean, let's not sit here and act like headbutts don't happen regularly in boxing. This happens when you got two guys that are trying to commit to a shot. You know, I mean, the thing about Timothy's, when he throws his overhand right, a counterpuncher is going to pull back, slip it, come back in with his short, you know, right hook, you know, and that's something that Nate Campbell didn't study, didn't follow through, because that's what Timothy Bradley does. He leads with that, you know, hand of his, and then throws it and stuff, because it's just a trait that he has. He puts a lot of commitment. So can we say it's intentional?
Do you think maybe though that he does that because he knows that he doesn't have any knockout power in his hands, and he figures you know, this is my best chance to hurt my opponent.
Well, okay, listen, I think it's a little bit too speculative to say, like, whether or not it was intentional headbutting. It's an accidental headbutt. I would say that it's accidental. I think it's a little bit,
right,
little bit of a stretch to say, well, Timothy Bradley uses his head as a weapon. That's, like, speculation. I won't go into that. I mean, it's, but still, it was an accidental headbutt,
but
and they got the worst of it, and then the referee didn't say anything.
Yeah, but you got to go into that because I've been hearing that a lot lately, you know, from fight fans saying that Timothy Bradley uses his head as the third fist. I mean, come on. I mean, is that fair to say? I mean, the guy, he dips down to throw a body shot, and at the same time, his opponent dips down to try to protect himself or even return it. You got a head clash. I mean, Strikeheart, come on. You got to watch that fight, and you got to tell me, did it look intentional? Did it really look like he was using his head to cause some damage because he ain't got no power?
I cannot say one way or the other for sure, but I mean, it wouldn't be hard for him to do it if he wanted to. I mean, it wouldn't be hard at all. So
It is the important part because that was the important part of the head of clash and the eyes being cut. I mean, and let's be fair, I'm not making fun of the guy, but the guy's dome is pretty big. I mean, it's kind of hard not to have that head in mix of a fight. Right? I mean, he's got a big head. You know what I'm saying? I'm...
Yes. Big head.
I mean, yo, Dave.
Yeah.
I think the reason that it's perceived that Timothy is more at fault, whether it's intentional or not, is because of the fact that not only has it happened in his fights, but his opponents seem to suffer the damage. You never see him getting cut or stunned or bothered when the heads clash, whereas his opponents, like Nate Campbell in this case and Kendall Holt previously, were obviously more affected by it. So I think that's why it's perceived that he is the cause of it.
You know, I mean, and it can go back to the same argument. I mean, me personally, I don't see that it's intentional. The reason why I don't see it is because I see Timothy Bradley commit to the body, and when you commit to that body, he dips he turns his waist down, then he hard pivots inside. You know what I'm saying? And when you got a guy that does that, it's not an open punch. You know what I mean? It's not an arm punch to the body. He really takes down the basics of dipping, turning, boom, and dropping and stuff. And I mean, you can go back even to a lot of great body punches. Julio Cesar Chavez also was a guy that did the same thing, and there was some head clashing. So that's why I'm saying you can't blame this guy if the heads do happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you commit to the body, it's gonna happen. There's ways to avoid it. And these fighters that are saying that, he's beating me up with his head. Well, shit, study the tape.
Yeah, but that's why I said it's perceived. I didn't say it's necessarily a fact. I said it's perceived that way. You know, in life, people always say perception is reality. So.
Exactly. And let me state this too. I mean, Strikeheart, the guy using his head. Realistically, why would a guy want to do that? I mean, aren't you putting yourself in harm's way as well?
You're right. Yeah, you are. You've got a point there. So I will not argue against that.
Effective aggression.
But let's get back to whether or not Nate Campbell had a chance to win, if you don't mind.
Go for it. Let's hear.
I think he absolutely did. I mean, Nate Campbell was fighting to that point the way that you would have expected him to fight, was just to come forward, keep his hands up, and wait for something to open up. And the fight didn't go long enough for us to be able to see that. But, that flurry that Timothy Bradley threw in that third round is exactly what you would have expected right before a huge counter from Nate Campbell. And I think that he was eventually going to land a couple good counter shots. Now, whether or not they would have hurt Timothy Bradley enough to stop the fight or hurt him seriously, we won't know unless there's a rematch. But I picked Campbell to win by knockout because I knew that if it wasn't a knockout, Timothy Bradley was going to win on decision because he throws way too many punches. So
right. Well, you know, and that's why I go back to saying that this was stolen from us hardcore fight fans who were anticipating this fight. I was anticipating it, man. I really, honestly, I thought when the fight started to get where it needed to be, where it started to really start to spice up for us, it was taken away from us, you know, and kind of go back, you know, because right now, I'm checking my emails, and then even in the chat room, we got a lot of fight fans saying right now, we're arguing about the wrong point, and we keep saying that the fight was stopped on a cut, and a lot of people seem to agree that the fight was stopped because Campbell wanted it to be stopped. What do you think about that, Justin?
I mean, yeah, he wanted it to be stopped, but it's whether or not you're going to take his word that he saw spots in his eye and that he couldn't see right out of his eye. I choose to accept that because Campbell has always shown heart in all of his fights previous to this one, and he just took three headbutts, one in every round, got no help from the referee. So I can't really fault him for saying that I can't continue in this fight, and he figured that it would be a no decision, that there's no question that, you know, if he had known that it was going to be a TKO, he most likely would have continued to fight. But he figured that he could stop and have another chance some other day, and that's not what happened.
Does he deserve, and this to all the guys on the panel, does Nate Campbell deserve to redeem himself in this fight? And if so, different outcome, or do you possibly see the same scenario what happened on last Saturday night? I'm going to go first with David Chen.
I think as a fight fan who really thought this was an interesting matchup, I would like to see a rematch, but I don't know whether or not he deserves a rematch, because then that takes it out of the decision of the hardcore fight fans. Then you're talking about, is he ranked, right? Does he bring the money to the table, all that stuff. I personally don't think he will get a rematch, but I would like to see it if it happens.
No, he won't.
You know, it's like with any title shot, you know, you only really get one chance, especially somebody like him.
Rob Riller out of Puerto Rico, brother, your take. Does he deserve it? Should he get it? I mean, what do you think?
All right, I'm going to just say, first of all, I want to know what he did to get a title shot moving into a weight class, just popping in and getting a title shot, because I didn't understand that.
He beat the baby Bull Diaz, brother. I mean, he beat a guy, really, honestly, to get at that point, who had all the bouts at the moment. I mean, that gives him the right, don't you think?
But back in the day, this would not happen, where you got a guy beats a guy in a different weight class, and he can move up and fight the champion there. I mean, I would say it's acceptable because Bradley's not a famous champion. You know, he's one of those guys where I would say is a prospect who has a title. You know, so because I don't think he really has championship experience, but I can understand it from
Absolutely.
That point. But not completely, where like a guy could just come up, any guy can come up and get a title shot, but if he gets a title shot now, I mean, yeah, you know, they should, because it's really unfinished business. There's a lot of talk about it going on already because of all the Nate Campbell fans that popped out of nowhere, and then all the Bradley fans that popped out of nowhere. I mean, really, you didn't hear nothing about these people, and then all of a sudden they just popped out like Pacquiao fans left and right, you know. So, I mean, now there's a lot of fighting going on, you know, a lot of trash talking going on. So the fight should happen, you know, just let it happen. These guys have bad-blooded teams. They don't seem to like each other too much. So, you know, they can build it up, you know, and maybe a Kendall Holt rematch can happen because Kendall Holt has won a fight off a headbutt. Timothy Bradley just apparently to a lot of people won this fight off a headbutt. So, you know, you can call it the battle of headbutts, you know, and get that down. So it's a win-win right now. There's nowhere you can go.
Chris, number six.
What is the question? Do I think he's going to get a rematch, or do I think he deserves one?
You think he deserves a rematch? You think there'll be a rematch? And if there is a rematch, same scenario or different outcome?
Not sure if he's going to get one because Gary Shaw was talking bullshit about, you know, we want to get paid more money for a rematch. What?
We know how Gary feels about rematches.
He was saying no without saying no. That's what he was doing.
Yeah. Why would he bring more money? It's not like it was Ward Gotti won and we have to see another fight, you know. But I think he deserves a rematch. Real quick, the reason I believe he called it off is because he didn't want the same thing to happen that happened to Marco Antonio Barrera against Amir Khan, where once it went past the fourth round and it was stopped, it would have been a TKO. Or not TKO, it would have went to the cards and he probably would have lost.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree on that one, brother. I think that's exactly what he was thinking, and it backfired on him regardless because, you know, when he did cry wolf, somebody did hear and they stopped it when they really weren't. First off, there was a lot of confusion in that ring. We got to say that, man. There was a lot of confusion, you know, a lot of emotions running up high. And you know, it could have went definitely, I think that the decision needs to be turned over to a no contest. I agree with, you know, Strike Card about that. But I don't. The only thing I don't agree on is it was, you know, in his own backyard, so there were favoritism. They were giving him favoritism. Because in all honesty, this was a pick-em fight, guys. I mean, this was a real hard fight to really kind of sit down and think, okay, who's going to win this match and stuff. You know, I kind of want to touch on something that Rob Riddle said, man, that really I thought it was really interesting that he mentioned this, saying that, you know, Timothy Bradley's more of a prospect with a championship belt that needs more championship rounds. So with this outcome of only three rounds against a tough guy by Nate Campbell, I mean, you can't take nothing away from Nate Campbell. This guy's a veteran guy, came in late in the game, and to be, you know, in the being able to fight some of the best fighters in the world and be competitive, you got to give him his props and stuff. But how good is Timothy Bradley, Strikeheart?
He's got skill, but everything that he's shown me so far says he has no power. He couldn't even build his resume early in his career and get a whole bunch of knockouts in there. He fought nobodies for the first 16, 17 fights, and he only, you know, he's got 11 knockouts total. I mean, he's a good guy. The only thing that bothers me is that for his lack of power, he shows way too much aggression. I'll go back to the Edner Cherry fight, his title defense. He was in total control the whole time. I mean, he had nothing to worry about. And I believe it was the 11th round. He got a little bit too over-aggressive and got himself caught and hurt really late in the fight for no reason. So I think it's only a matter of time before Timothy Bradley walks into a punch he doesn't see coming. I don't know when it'll be. But he's going to get himself knocked out someday. You can write that down.
I agree. I mean, he is. But let's put it this way though too, Justin, is that he keeps fighting some pretty tough fights. I mean, we got to give him that. You know, Cherry was no walk in the park. Holt is no walk in the park. You know, also Witter is no walk in the park. Alexander the Great, you know, Devon Alexander the Great, who fought. And Timothy looked better than Alexander, you know, in winning.
He did it in
a way better fashion.
Because Witter, you know, you never know which Witter's going to show up.
Exactly.
Witter we saw last weekend was embarrassing.
Exactly. You know, I mean, but you know, what my thing is about with Timothy Bradley is that we haven't even seen this guy right now at his best. In my eyes, I don't think Timothy is in his prime yet. I mean, I think right now we're seeing, just like Rob Riddle said, a prospect. So if he's just a prospect now, how good can this guy really get? I think he's the goods. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and stuff. Chris 916, how good is Timothy Bradley?
He's good, but like you said, he's still got a lot to learn in there. Right now he's getting by on his speed, his activity, and, you know, just being a really hard, consistent worker. You know, he outworks these guys. He's got more heart, almost, I want to say, in there than the guys. He's just taking the fight to him. You know, Kendall Holt, Junior Witter, and, well, I don't want to say he has more heart than Edner Cherry necessarily, but he's just outworking these guys. But he's definitely a flawed fighter at this point, too, defensively. You know, there's definitely things that can be taken advantage of. If he fought a guy like, let's just say Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather, because they're
Marquez.
Around that weight class. Yeah, or Marquez. I think those guys would be able to exploit those deficiencies that he has defensively. But fortunately, he's been matched up very well. You know, he's a good fighter. I think like you said, he's still young. He hasn't hit in his prime yet. You know, he just needs to work on sharpening up some things, you know, defensively. But he's good, but he's not great yet. But he could get there. You know, he could get there if he just develops his game more.
Now, you mentioned something really interesting. I like what you said. You said right now that he's got a lot of heart, and his work rate, you know, really, really, you know, he puts a great output, right? We can all agree on that, right, guys? That's what he does. He's got a good work rate. You can tell you can see the determination in this kid when he's in the ring. You can see the heart. Doesn't those three things there win over fight fans, though? I mean, skills obviously are a big plus, but sometimes skills don't win fights. Am I right?
For me personally? Absolutely. You know, it's skill over will sometimes. And in his case, it's almost will over skill. You know, he combines them, but, I mean, he made a fan of me more so with his humbleness. But I definitely appreciate that he
Not to strike hard.
Yeah, I didn't see a humble guy at all, man. He looked like a kid that got caught stealing from the cookie jar after that fight, man. He couldn't even look up. He was looking at the floor after he just won.
Wrong. No, he wasn't. He was looking straight at Nate Campbell, and he said it with a straight face. You know what? He was getting old by the round. Come on, brother.
That was his prepared line for when he won a 12-round fight. He didn't even change it up. Getting older by every round. It was 3 rounds.
Right. And, you know, and both the guys, Nate Campbell and Timothy Bradley, are friends of the radio show. I mean, we know we love them. We love them both. You know, and this was a fight, man, that really honestly had all of us in divided. You know, half of us had Timothy, the other half had, you know, Nate Campbell. But, hey, it is what it is. I mean, we all have our way, outlook of how things were and stuff. But go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. Keep going what you were saying.
No, I was just saying I appreciate, you know, that the respect that he has for the game. You know, you get in sports and in life, you know, and in boxing, in that ring, you get what you put into it. You know what I'm saying? And he puts in 110% every time in the gym and in the ring. I think with Strikehart, real quick, I don't think that you're questioning his humility. I think you're questioning his integrity. You know,
oh, yeah, that's what my video said.
Exactly.
Right.
So, but that doesn't have anything to do with him being a humble person, you know. So I think
he wasn't very humble after that fight. That's all. I mean,
well, we're gonna agree to disagree on this one then.
Okay.
I mean, that's
fine.
What you're saying, but I think he almost took the role of he was.
No, I'm interested in hearing why, you know, Justin doesn't feel this. I mean, Chris, you're saying he's a humble guy. Strikehart's saying he isn't. I'm wondering. I'm curious why.
Then Nate Campbell walking away, and he's like, "Well, I don't care, man. I'll fight him anywhere. You know, that's not humble."
Yo, listen. Timothy Bradley knows
an injury, and you just
Timothy Bradley knows he wasn't beating up Nate Campbell. He knows he wasn't beating up Nate, but he's like, nah, I got this. I was like, well, that just sounds prepared, but regardless, I mean, maybe I'll make a terrible fighter, but you know, if I was in that situation, I'd be like, oh, Nate, man, I'm sorry, man. Like you know, you got headbutted. Like I know, it's true. But maybe, like I said, maybe I will make a terrible fighter. But to me, that's what a human being would have said.
Right, that's what I wanted to see from Timothy Bradley.
Listen, what about this, though? Nate Campbell's a shit talker, okay? We've had him on the radio show. You guys know this. He has his ways of getting underneath people's skins, you know? And really, honestly, do you think, I mean, me personally, if I see Nate Campbell here, you know, running around the ring, you know, pointing my finger at me, I'm going to be like, man, you know what? F this dude. I'm done with him, man. I'm tired of this guy just, you know, opening this trap every single time out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, could that have been? Could you guys, I mean, couldn't the that moment just take over Timothy Bradley at that moment? I mean, maybe he looks at it back and says, oh, man, you're right. I should have, you know, said blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Now, Rob Miller, you know, it's funny, we've got Rob Miller on the line. This is the guy that talks so much shit every single time. He's in the chat room, talks all this shit, and he's over leaving me dry, man. I thought you were going to have something to say, dog. What happened to you?
What? I mean, I was just waiting for Timothy to look at Nate in the eye and be like, yo, man, shit happens. You know, I was just looking at him to say that because he just looked like he was really pissed at Nate, and I was like, you know, I wanted him to say something. But I felt he was right for what he said because this dude talked a lot of mess. You know, I talk a lot of mess. So when I'm wrong, I expect somebody to call me out on it. You know, like I'm not, you know, I take it when I'm wrong and stuff like that. And you know, I just walk away. You know, I still got my pride and stuff like that. But I'm not going to be like wrong and be like, oh, well, you know what? You got a big ass head. Like, you know, like I'm not going to be messing around like that, you know. So Nate Campbell should have just accepted what happened. And should have just waited till the press conference, to the post-fight conference, and then talked about it there. But he just acted completely unprofessional. And Timothy acted, you know, like he should have to me.
Well, I don't know. I don't think, I mean, with what he was facing, I don't think he overreacted at all. Because he's pretty much shut out now. Nobody's going to want to fight Nate Campbell. There's no reason to. He stated it right before the fight. Without a belt. There is no reason to fight Nate Campbell because he's not a name. Nobody outside of this community. I mean, you say the name Nate Campbell in a crowded room, and nobody's head's going to turn around. So there's really
that's true.
He's pretty much locked out, man.
Bloodwood.
Unless you're Timothy Bradley.
All right,
man. Let's move on to this subject because I'm pretty sure we can go on and on about this one here, you know. And you know, and you know what? Strike Card's a great guy, you know, great guest, you know, good friend of ours and stuff, man. He's got a great show, What's Bothering Strike Card on YouTube. If you guys haven't checked it out, you got to get on there. Same thing with Rob Riddler, man. He does some great editing. I always enjoy his stuff. His last video, man, loved it. Loved it. It was bad. I mean, what you got down, what is boxing, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
And it was great. I mean, if you haven't checked it out, got to get on there. There's a couple other guys on the YouTube boxing community that are doing a little similar things to it and stuff. And they're all about, every one of them's got their great takes about it, man, and I enjoy it and stuff. Even my man Blood is jumping on that wagon right there. What is boxing? He was already trying to do, I don't know what he was trying to do. He had this voice and shit. I was like, what the hell is Blood doing, man? Smoking weed and drinking again. You know, I mean, you know, like, what is boxing, man? I thought I was, you know, checking out a movie premiere or something, you know, like, one man.
It was thinking back with some music in the background, too, you know, some, like, chill stuff.
Exactly, man, you know. But anyways, let's move on, you know. Last Thursday, I went down to the Wild Card Gym in Hollywood, California. Had a chance to sit down with my man Freddie Roach and chop it up a little bit about his upcoming fight with Miguel Cotto. Had a lot to say on and off camera. Got to thank my boy Art, you know, from Stand Up Fight that came out. He, you know, let me borrow his camera. He does a lot of work for me, man. He's done the new website. He's done my old website, and he just updated. And this guy does it. Seriously, guys, just out of being a homeboy and the kindness of his heart, man. So I got to applaud him because without Art from Stand Up Fight, there's a lot of stuff that we do, like radio show, you know, the logos and everything else would not be done without Art, man. So I got to give him a shout-out, my brother, from www.standandfight.com. But let's move on. I did put up a little bit, 9 minutes of the interview with Freddie Roach, and it sparked up again, another controversial thing. It sparked up because Freddie says, out of the three, Floyd Mayweather would be the easiest fight for them. Let's go with David Chen. What do you think? Is it an easy fight for Manny Pacquiao to get in the ring with the Floyd Mayweather?
You know, that's probably true because, I mean, obviously part of it is gamesmanship on Freddie's part. You know what I mean? I don't think Floyd is an easy fight for anybody. But in terms of the matchup with Manny concerned, I think Floyd poses the least amount of threat because I think Floyd has the least amount of power out of the guys, right? Floyd is not as offensive. So I think just from that aspect, the fact that Floyd is so defensive and Manny is such a great offensive combination puncher that he can find plenty of ways for just Manny to shut Floyd down over the course of a fight and plan around that, where Cotto can always get you with his heavy hand. Same thing with Shane Mosley. Shane Mosley himself is pretty fast, got a killer right hand. So I think that's probably what Freddie's approach is. But maybe you know something I don't.
You think maybe a little bit that he's been on so much, you know, he's been, you know, uncanny on his predictions, you know, he's being with, you know, Oscar and now with Hatton. You think he may be being a little bit too confident on his assessments of predictions with his fighter, and it may burn him a little in the long run?
Well, he does seem very confident, you know, from the way he's talking right now. It seems like Manny can beat anybody. But, you know, Manny is a great fighter, and you can tell with the way Freddie talks about
him. Do you think Freddie's sounding a little bit too much like the Manny Pacquiao fans at the moment?
Well, I would think Freddie Roach is a pretty big Manny Pacquiao fan.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, do you think that he may be just a little bit too much in hearing what a lot of the fans are saying and believing in it a little bit too much, where it could be a little bit overconfident and could catch him in the long run? I mean, let's go with the 916 Chris, the man of reason.
Well, I do agree with David Chen in the fact that I think it was a bit of gamesmanship because Floyd's always out there running his mouth. You know, I think Freddie's going to try to get under his skin, you know, and bait him into a fight if he gets past Marquez. You know, I think that's a way to do it, you know, because a lot of people don't really challenge Mayweather, you know, take shots at him, you know, verbally. So I think that's a good way to get under his skin. I don't know if Freddie Roach is necessarily overconfident. I mean, based on the last few performances by Manny Pacquiao, how could you have anything but supreme confidence in the guy? I mean, they're a good team.
Right.
The thing that I took, that was my favorite part of that interview, you know, I'm glad you got to do it. I got to thank Rob Riddler because I completely didn't even know it was up there. He told me to go check it out.
I texted you.
You did?
So yeah, I texted you and everything. I even sent you an email to let you know that because before we put it up on YouTube, we did put it up on the website. If you've only seen it on YouTube, you're only seeing 9 minutes of it. You could see the exclusive whole interview because now we're able to host, a large amount of time on videos on our website. You can go and you can see the whole entire, almost close to 15 minutes of an interview. I think it's like 14 minutes and something. So you can go and check it out. But go ahead, Chris. What were you saying?
Yeah, that's where I saw it on there. But I don't know. I didn't get your text. You know my cell phone sucks. But anyways, the most interesting thing to me was his point about Shane Mosley and the weight drop. Because I know we'd all been kind of questioning that, even myself, you know, why won't you fight Shane at 147 when you did De La Hoya? And, you know, he was honest. He said, you know, we believe Shane's a better fighter than Oscar De La Hoya, so why would we give him the advantage? So, you know, that was the one thing that I was most interested or intrigued by out of that whole interview.
Now, you know, what's funny is when you said that and him being, you know, bluntly honest about it, you know, I mean, right away, right after that, I had a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails and everything. A lot of guys were really upset about it. They were like, well, there you go, man. Freddie Roach is pretty much just saying, I cherry-pick my fights. Is he cherry-picking his fights, or is he being smart about these fights?
Hey, man, it's like any game. He's playing by the rules, you know. If people are going to play by his rules that he's going to set, he's being smart. He's doing what's best for his fighter. You know, if Shane Mosley is willing to go down that far, then how is it cherry-picking? If Shane Mosley agrees to put his name on that contract, then, you know, that's – if Shane doesn't have a problem with it, then who am I as a fan? You know, I may not agree with it. I may think he is kind of cherry-picking or setting things his way, but if Shane, the person who's willing to step in that ring with him, is okay with it, you know, factoring in the money, then who the hell is anyone else to complain?
Yeah. Hey, Dave, real quick, I'll say this about Freddie. I just have a piece to mention real quick. I mean, for us fans, boxing is like a black and white thing, but it's not for the guys involved, obviously. If you remember back when Freddie was training Oscar to fight Floyd Mayweather, he was, you know, with the footage, he saw how, like, Oscar would back him to the ropes, and he's like, listen, just hit me, and if I get too close, just push me back, you know, get me off balance and hit me again. You know, it's a fight. Fuck the other guy. Like, fuck him. That's literally what he said. So that's how Freddie's mentality is. He's in the game. His goal is to make sure his fellas win and they have the upper hand. You know, it's not his job to make the best and the fairest and to make the world a happy place for all of us.
So, I mean, I think the right assessment to say about all of this is because, you know, I've always said that, you know, Freddie's a great matchmaker. And I've always said, hey, if you could take the upper hand, why not take it? And I don't really think there's rules. And I know some people are going to get – they're going to be like, no. You know, I wish my brother Blood was on it because I know he wouldn't agree with this. I know Blood right away would probably, you know, bring the house down right now, you know, and state his opinion about this. But I think it's fair to say there are no rules of really how things should be done in boxing. Strikeheart, I mean, give me your take about is he the easiest fight Mayweather and is Freddie – cherry-picking his fights now?
I think Mayweather definitely poses the smallest threat to Manny as far as a possible knockout, that's for sure. I think Shane Mosley has the right tools to beat Pacquiao. That would be the most interesting of the three fights. Now, as a fan, I'd rather see Mayweather-Pacquiao just because of the significance of the fight. But I definitely think that of the three fights, it's the easiest one to win. Not that it's easy. I just think that Pacquiao wouldn't have a whole lot to worry about as far as getting hurt. It would be a matter of outlanding Floyd, and I think that Manny Pacquiao could definitely hurt Floyd Mayweather. So I think if anybody needs to be worried about that fight, it'd be Floyd Mayweather. That's just my opinion. As far as Cotto goes, I think Cotto has power that could put Pacquiao on the floor with one punch. So that's a risky proposition too, and I think that this this whole 2 pound controversy isn't really a valid thing either. Not to take a whole new issue and put it on the table, but I expect that Miguel Cotto will probably be coming into the ring that night as a middleweight, and you'll have Manny Pacquiao as a welterweight. So that's an issue that doesn't really bother me in this upcoming fight. I almost think that it's kind of silly that they fought for the 2 pounds because it gives people on the other side something to say, but it's
well,
not
but,
a big deal
don't you think
either.
That's but let me ask you this. In a lot of ways, Freddie Roach, you know what, and I don't think anybody's really kind of tackled this. Psychology, he knows how to play these fighters. I mean, 2 pounds is not a big difference, but when you're fighting for it, you make the fighter lose focus. It's just like, I mean, remember back when Shane Mosley was fighting Fernando Vargas in the second fight, and the corner had said, hey, you know what, we want Gatorade. And Shane, you know, and his team were just like, no, you're not getting it. And really, in all honesty, I didn't think it was a big deal, but they made it such a big deal that it really just took over the fight. It was the main conversation in the beginning of the bout, and you could see the frustration from the camp because it was like them telling a baby, no, you can't touch this, when they want to keep reaching out to touch it, their hand keeps getting slapped. Could that be the deploy of what Freddie Roach does? Is that strategy-wise, doesn't it seem like that's a game plan that he decides to do?
He's definitely always thinking. There was one thing that he did that almost flabbergasted me, though, after seeing the Hatton fight. In that whole 24/7 series, we must have seen Pacquiao throw the knockout, or not the knockout punch, but the right hooks like 5,000 times, exactly the same way that he threw him in the fight. And it must have been shown, you know, like I said, 5,000 times. I almost thought that was a little bit cocky, and that could hurt you somewhere down the line doing something like that. I mean, he basically showed his game plan on TV.
Yeah.
He said, come get some. So sometimes he's almost a little bit too cocky. In my opinion, too.
But I like the cockiness, you know. I mean, I like the fact that this trainer, you know, he has he looks like he'd be the silent strong type, but the guy's got a, you know, he's got a little jabber on there, man. He's able to, you know, really be able to rust with the rest of these guys that could have a good rap game. He definitely saw it with Floyd Mayweather Sr. And I see, hey, you know what, it just makes, to me, it makes the game a lot more interesting rather than seeing. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the humble guys, the humble cats, but if there's not a little bit of trash talking, I mean, I'm just like, come on, man. You know, I know deep inside, you know, when you're trying to be the best, you know, you're gonna have to cringe at some people like, man, get out of here, man. What is this dude talking about? Or what is this guy doing? And I'm pretty sure we've all done it. We got a radio show. We all got shows. I'm pretty sure we've seen a show and we're like, dude, what the hell is this dude saying? What's this guy thinking? You know what I'm saying? So I applaud Freddie for really being honest and putting it out there. Does it shut down a couple of fight fans? Does it make them shy away? Does it make them go, I don't like that guy? Of course, but you can't win over everybody. The quietest man out of Puerto Rico right now, I don't know what happened to this guy. I guess he left his nuts in the jar. Rob Riddler out of Puerto Rico. Go ahead, brother. Tell me your assessment, man.
Take him
out of the purse. Take him out of the purse. Come on.
Well, Freddie Roach is a very outgoing guy, you know, and he's just one of those dudes, you know, he doesn't care whether you like his opinion or not. He's just going to go in there with his opinion, whether it gets him a win or whether it gets him a loss, it's going to stay his opinion. And I do agree with him that it's basically it's his cards. If he has the cards, if you have the cards and a control in boxing, use it. You know, that's what everybody does. That's what's happened from day one till now. You got the cards, you play them. You know, but Roach, you know, he's confident right now, but he also is very intelligent with his confidence. He knows where to put it, how to say things, you know, and who to say it to. So I mean, if he says, well, Floyd is a chump, then, she just, you know, nobody's going to really argue about it, you know. So, I mean, like, the dude, in my personal opinion, I don't think Pacquiao can beat Floyd down the stretch. I think Floyd wins. And I think Pacquiao has more of a chance of beating Cotto. And I think Mosley would beat Pacquiao up, you know. But but at the end of the day, these fights got to happen, and Roach is gonna pick the more valuable fight at the moment, you know. And right now, I personally see Cotto being more of a valuable fight under his belt to Pacquiao than Floyd would be right now. Because if he goes, because as Pacquiao takes a fight with Cotto, if he gets a victory over Cotto, he already has a large fan base going behind him into the Floyd fight. Because now Pacquiao has done a lot of things, has fought the one guy a lot of people feel Floyd should have stepped in the ring with a long time ago, and he just beat him. And if Pacquiao beats Cotto, it's probably going to be in a very brutal fight, a very brutal during fight. So, I mean, Pacquiao has a lot of things in his hands right now, and he's taking control of them. And I personally like it.
You know, I like what you said right there about him facing Cotto, you know, and it's a much-needed fight, first off, because, you know, you got the naysayers, a lot of people, that you know, that not believing that, you know, Cotto right now is, Manny Pacquiao right now is the good, and he is doing a lot of good for boxing. And if he's able to defeat Miguel Cotto. Now, I know a lot of people are writing off Miguel Cotto right away right now. A lot of people are saying he's damaged goods, blah, blah, blah. I don't really truly feel that. You know, even back when I had mentioned him to Freddie Roach about the whole, you know, hey, what do you think about this fight, you know? I was being an instigator, as some people have said, which I'm known for doing. I instigate things, of course, you know. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to, you know, it's just like somebody wrote on my website saying, oh, you're just trying to hype up this website. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. What do you think? You know, and stuff. Yeah, I don't want nobody to know about the website, morons. But anyways, go away from that and stuff, you know. Miguel Cotto, I don't think he's really – and this is where – maybe you guys have a different opinion about this and stuff, but fighting Joshua Clady, how – and really, honestly, I thought he adjusted. The only thing is Josh didn't pressure him, didn't, you know, attack when he needed to. That's something Manny won't let go by. You know, Manny is a shark, and as soon as he smells blood, he's going to go after it. But I just see Miguel Cotto being able to adjust. And it's gonna have to bring out the best out of Manny Pacquiao, being that this is gonna be the first time stepping in with a much bigger puncher for the very first time, I believe. You know, this guy can hit. You know, Miguel Cotto, I've said it before, he's not a one punch knockout artist, but he is a valiant guy where he can literally systematically break you down. You know, and really, a lot of people are thinking about him going to the body. I don't think he's gonna have a chance. He's gonna be really too busy trying to cast those fast, you know, jabs and straight lefts from Manny Pacquiao, that his best bet of catching him is by doubling the left hook, you know, catching him when he jumps in and stuff. But before I talk about the whole whatchamacallit, I want to go back and I want to kind of talk about Shane Mosley. You know, Freddie Roach saying that they want Miguel Cotto's belt, but they'll fight Mosley, but they don't want Mosley's belt. I don't understand that. I thought that was kind of awkward, kind of weird. And, you know, and I'm glad that my boy Art right now reminded me about that. So I like to bring that up. But before I ask and let anybody answer that question right now, what they think and what they feel about that, I kind of want to mention that I bought that new game called Round 4. I'm in love with it. I love the game. I've been playing the goddamn thing, man. I haven't even slept. You know, I'm on there trying to learn all the moves and stuff. My kid's kicking my ass. He's one of those type of kids that once he gets onto something, the guy knows how to master everything, right? But there's one particular fighter that I get by the name of Shane Mosley, and he's Manny all the time, okay? And remember, I'm not that good at this game yet. I'm barely learning my craft on this game and stuff. My thumbs are not as slick and stuff, you know. My fists are better than my thumbs, you know. But I seem to keep knocking out Manny in the seventh round. And I told my son, yeah, I knocked him out three times, right? And my kid turns and goes, man, I beat you with Manny with everybody else, but I can't beat you with Mosley. And I told him, you know what the funny thing is? For some reason, I feel this is exactly what would happen in real life. Did the makers of this round four, you know, figure that out? Did they see the same thing that I'm seeing? I don't know. What do you think, Strikeheart?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said before, I think Shane Mosley is definitely the toughest fight. But as far as Fight Night Round 4 goes, it's a great game. I bought it the first day, and I lost a lot of sleep, too.
Man, I got to get it online. You know, I got to go and get that, whatever it is. What is it, a card or a chip, and so I can get online and play with other people and stuff, man. But I'm not that good yet, you know. I'm learning my craft. I'm learning how to, you know, to jab and stick and move and turn. I know some people didn't, they weren't feeling the game, They didn't like it because of the controls, but I love it, man. I actually like it a lot better than the last one they made.
Oh, definitely, yeah. The inside work on that game is much better. I think the only thing left for them to possibly improve on a little bit is if you want to do a little bit more dancing on the outside and, you know, to avoid your opponent. It's still kind of hard to avoid somebody in that game if they want to come forward towards you.
Oh, I'm after that, man. I'm after that already. You know, catching the shots and stuff and stepping out, you know, and actually, you know, you got to weave in order to make create distance and push. I got that down. I got to play you then, Strike Clark. I'll tear your ass up, dog. I'll tell you what. I'll be so bad, you won't even want to pick up another joystick. Rob, really, you too, brother. Come on, look at all quiet. I know you play all the time, dude. Over there, you know, acting like you're probably playing right now. Huh?
Nah, but I actually got done playing with it like 2 hours ago or something like that. Nah, but I have to stop playing that because you know how when I first played it, I got trouble throwing the jab and stuff. And instead of throwing the jab, I'll throw an uppercut, and like my fingers would be hurting because I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, what the hell, you know, throw a damn jab. And you know, I'm not gonna lie, I tried to use Kodo because you know I'm Puerto Rican, I got the pride, so I want to be real good with Kodo. I have not won a fight yet with Kodo. I'm not even gonna lie, I suck using Kodo. So if I pick Kodo, you probably won already. I'm not even gonna lie.
You know, what I like about Kodo, I know we're kind of going away from what we were talking about. We're into the game here. David Chen, have you played yet, man, or no?
Yeah, man, I love that game.
It's bad. I mean, look, okay, before I get away from what we were talking about, but Miguel Kodo, what I've noticed about having Miguel Kodo in the game is that he runs out of steam, dude, after the sixth and seventh round, kind of like the real guy. Am I wrong about that? I mean, that's what it seems to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was playing Francel. You know, for a lot of people who know him on YouTube, I was playing him. I went to his house. We were playing, you know, and I was playing with Pacquiao against this dude, right? And I got dropped, like, in, like, 15 seconds of the first round. I was like, whoa, you know. So I get up, but then 3 rounds later, I knocked Pacquiao out. You know what I'm saying? It happened, like, 3 times in a row, so.
See, that didn't happen with me. I dropped Manny in the first round, right? Caught him with perfect timed uppercut, left uppercut, boom, in the inside, dropped him. Then, you know, came back around. I think by the third round, man, my eye was busted up. It was cut. I was trying to fix it. You know, when you get the points and you know, and you're trying to make sure that you get that what is the blue bar, which is your health, right? So, because, you know, the less you got to get, the more damage, you know, if he hits you a certain amount of times, he can knock you out, right? And I'm trying to make sure I balance it all out. But, dude, by the time it's like the fifth, sixth, seventh round, I get knocked out with Miguel Cotto. I've only been able to survive with Miguel with Shane Mosley.
Dude, but like I played against Shane Mosley like a number, probably like 10 times. I used Thomas Hearns, I used Jesus Chavez, I used Ray Leonard. Dude, I used the whole roster on this dude and I cannot beat him. And I even knocked him down with Thomas Hearns and I knocked him down clean with like one shot. He gets up
right
in that same round, gets pissed off and like knocks me out.
I've only been able to beat him by points. That's what I've done and stuff. You know, the only thing I didn't like is me being Mexican and all that, man, you know, is Julio Cesar Chavez. Dog, come on. Dude gets dropped. I get Julio. He gets dropped by Miguel Cotto in the first round. That ain't true. That ain't true. You know that ain't true, man. Come on. As soon as that happened, I had a little tamper with my kid. I'm all, no, my joystick got stuck, man. Rematch. Take that back. Take it back. My kid's like, nah, dad, nah, man. And I'm like, nah, man, come on, man, take it back and stuff. But hey, I lost. I ended up getting knocked out like on the fourth round. But anyways, let's get back and let's get away from the games. But I do like this game. I think it's a hell of a fun game and stuff. I know my boy Art don't want to get mixed up with me in that game and all that. You know, he's scared. I've been calling him out, too. He don't want to play. Same thing with Blood. Making videos that he's going to play the game but don't want to, you know, step it up and stuff, you know. what is boxing? I tell you what boxing is, you know. Me socking you in the face. That's boxing and stuff, you know.
Boxing is avoiding people in fight night round four.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, but so anyways, let's get right back into it really, really quick and stuff. Chris, you know, they want Manny Pacquiao, they want Miguel Cotto's belt, but they said, we don't even want Mosley's belt. What is the story with that, brother?
I think because with Mosley, I think he probably insists or that I don't know if he has WBC, IBF, WBA belt. Shane, that is. They'd probably require him to fight at 147, you know, which is the reason why I think that Cotto's belt might not be up, you know. And I know Freddie Roach said, hey, or you might ask him, you know, it's over 140, isn't it considered a welterweight fight? Anytime it's over the 140 limit or whatever. So, I don't know. I just think because they'd have to actually fight Shane Mosley at 147, that's the only thing I could figure. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense because what's any belt different than the other than the three letters that represent it?
But is it a way of just saying, you know what, we don't want to fight him?
I think so.
You know, I mean, he did mention, when I did mention to him that, hey, you know, Mosley came in, he said, hey, he'll fight you on 140. And he said, he came in twice into my gym. He said, we said 143, and he said, I can't make that. Fight me on 147. So, I don't know. Is there, do you think there's any truth? Go ahead.
Yo, hold on. Well, now I guess I just read this on Fight News, WBC's new Diamond Championship. I guess they're implementing a belt that's for, like, catch weights. It says this belt will play a very important role in fights between elite boxers called catch weight fights. So maybe they can fight for the WBC Diamond Championship.
Come on, man. We don't need no more belts. We don't need no more belts. This is that's bullshit. I don't want... In that case, you know what, man? We should have our own. You know, let's fight for the leave it in the ring belt. How about that? We make our own belt.
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That.
You know what I'm saying? That's just ridiculous, dude. I mean.
Pacquiao needs to have his own belt. These belts are. Man, I'm going to say something about the belts. The belts are ugly stylistically, man. They're ugly as hell. If I get a belt in boxing, I'm going to redesign that. I'm going to have, like, it all diamonded out. I'm going to look so ghetto, but it's going to be a fire.
Strikeheart, what do you think? They're avoiding Mosley. Does it make sense to go after Cotto's belt? Ask for the belt, you know, when it's really at 145, not 147, even though 2 pounds, in a lot of people's opinion, is not a big difference, but it is a big difference. 2 pounds is a big difference in a game where you get punched in the face and in the stomach. What is your take about it?
I definitely agree with you that they're doing everything they can to avoid fighting Mosley. I mean, Mosley has almost gone to insane levels to try and get a fight with Manny Pacquiao, agreeing to just about anything they think that he won't say yes to. So, yeah, they're definitely not looking to fight Mosley. I don't really know what to make of the whole thing. I don't think Cotto's belt should be on the line if they're going to make him come down to, you know, below the limit. If they want the belt, they should fight at 147. And I think they should fight at 147 anyway. Just so, you know, if and when they do beat Cotto, they leave no excuses for people other than, you know, what they'll obviously say if they win is that Cotto was damaged goods. But I don't think he is either, at least not mentally, maybe physically a little bit. I think he might cut and bruise easier in the face. But, yeah, I don't know. They're definitely avoiding Mosley. That's really all I have to say about that. So,
David Chin?
I'll say this. Shane Mosley is not the first guy in history to get overlooked, to get avoided, stuff like that. I mean, if you really wanted to do that to a fighter, you have a whole book of ways to do that, right? And they're basically playing it every page by page. I kind of look at it as Cotto is a bigger fight because Cotto, you know, the Cotto fight makes more money. Because Cotto is an in-house fighter with Top Rank, and Cotto's got the Puerto Rican. So Shane, you know, he's not really going to put in a lot of money. So Manny and his people want the Cotto fight, whereas Shane wants to fight Manny. You know, Manny's not really looking to fight Shane and stuff like that. So it seems like Shane is challenging Manny. So that means if Shane is going to fight Manny, he's going to come down to 140, whereas since Manny wants to fight Cotto, he's going to go up to 147. But he's not going up to 147. He wants Cotto to come down a little bit. So that's a little bit not fair. You know, why would you ask for a guy's belt? You know, his welterweight championship of the world, but you won't fight him as a welterweight. That's a little bit shady, too. You see what I mean?
No, I agree with you and stuff. So if he does put the belt on the line, which I heard that is still a little bit of a negotiation about that, you know, if they do you feel that people will recognize him as the legitimate champion?
Cotto says he's going to vacate the belt if he's forced to fight for it anyway. So,
that whole situation's weird. Who even knows if he'll still have the belt by the time the fight rolls around? He's threatening.
Okay. So
I can say if I'm Cotto and I'm a welterweight champion, I'm never gonna fight for my belt at anything below the weight. You know, like if you're challenging for my belt, then I'm the champion. Then I get to dictate some terms. Like, what weight class should I fight at? Since it's a sport still at the end of the day, right? With rules in it.
Okay, let me tell you this then. Blood's whole assessment of Manny Pacquiao being a spoiled brat at this moment, could there be some truth to that?
Yeah.
I don't really think Pacquiao cares, man. This is my take on Pacquiao. Pacquiao lets everybody else handle his business, and he goes into the ring and fights. If they told Pacquiao he was going to fight, you know, whoever, you name him, within reason, I think Pacquiao walks into the ring and fights at whatever they say. So this is more Freddie Roach, Bob Arum, and all those cats that run the game. Manny Pacquiao's just a fighter.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Pacquiao's the fighter, but the people who handle him, they seem to get a little bit spoiled. They seem to take a little bit too much control. I mean, you know, Pacquiao, he is the type of guy where you can just be like, all right, Pacquiao, you're going to fight Jesus Christ, and you're going to fight him at 135, and it's going to be at a catch weight for the middleweight title, you know, and he'll do it. But, you know, it's the people around him that control that, you know. So, I mean, his cornermen, you know, the guys who handle him, they're just spoiled. And, I mean, I can't really blame Pacquiao for it, but his handlers are really spoiled with that.
And I think you're right about that, man. I think his handlers are being a little bit spoiled. But it also goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that they're trying to take advantage of everything that they can, which, you know, that's part of the game, you know, and Cotto needs a good business part, you know, a cutthroat guy in his corner where they could be like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I mean, are they avoiding Mosley? Yeah, to an extent, I think. But do I understand why they're going after Cotto and then Mosley? I mean, Mayweather, then Mosley, then I have to kind of agree, because the fan base really, honestly, leans towards these two other fighters rather than Mosley. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if you're going to fight Shane Mosley eventually, might as well make him get older, you know, while he's waiting in the wings, I suppose. Plus, you know, quite honestly, I think that aside from Mayweather, Cotto makes more money than Shane Mosley does fighting Pacquiao. So, you know, just based on his Puerto Rican fan base, I think he's got a really more loyal fan base somewhat than Mosley, even though Mosley's really popular with the hardcore fans. But, you know, I don't know, man. This is one of those things that's like, it's all speculation until the smoke clears in the end. Who's to say Manny will ever fight Floyd? He'll ever fight Shane? You know, who's to say? All I know is he's fighting Cotto, and we don't even know how that fight's going to go.
I want to ask you guys something. So in 30, let's say 30 years, you know, we're all going to be old as hell. Well, you guys are going to be old as hell, because I'm still going to be probably a little younger than you guys.
Thanks, buddy. In 30 years, I'd be 60, okay? Go ahead.
But I mean, like, you know, when we're thinking back to Floyd, Manny, you know, if Pacquiao never fought Floyd but defeated Mosley and Cotto,
that don't mean nothing to me.
Would that mean more to you than just him defeating Floyd alone?
Wait, go again. Ask your question one more time.
If Pacquiao would fight Floyd by like just that one individual instead of Cotto and Mosley, would that mean more than fighting Cotto and Mosley in a long period of time?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it. I mean, look. It always goes back to this is the thing about boxing, man, and I think everybody's got to agree on this, is that when you're the man, there's always going to be another man to come up. There's always a new threat, you know, on the rise, you know. So there's never going to be enough to feed the fight fans, the hardcore fight fans, where we could say we're completely satisfied that this man doesn't need to fight this person no longer. You know what I mean? Fighting Floyd Mayweather, if he only fought Floyd Mayweather, there could be a case, well, okay, you beat this guy that was off for 2 years, you know, et cetera, but you didn't fight really guys that were more, you know, in the mix, active, and doing something in the sport, rather, and that were being real fighters, not a guy that was, you know, dancing with the stars, not a guy that was throwing money at the camera, not a dude that was hanging out with rappers and you know, driving his little, what is that little thing there, you drive around the house and stuff, you know? I mean, there's always an argument for it. Now, him fighting Miguel Cotto, and he fights Mayweather, and he fights Mosey last, to me, bro, I think that's fair enough to say he's done his job as a fighter to make history.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. David Chan, what do you think?
Well, in address to Rob's actual, like, particular question real quick, is Mayweather worth equal to both Cotto and Shane Mosley combined? Is that what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. In the legacy-wise,
okay.
Does he match up to them in value?
If it was a bunch of us and we're all 60 and we're still discussing this, I would say if Manny had beaten both Cotto and Mosley, that's way more than if he had just beaten Floyd by himself. I think Floyd would be a bigger fight, but only during, you know, our lifetime right now, only for the people who saw the fight, saw the hype. Years later, when all the hype has nothing to do with it, and they're just looking at people's careers and results and the fight footage itself, I think if Manny beats both Cotto and Mosley, that'll mean all the world for his time, for his period.
Chris, 916?
I agree with that. I mean, if you look back on the resume, I would give the guy, you know, more recognition in the history for beating both Shane Mosley and Miguel Cotto as opposed to just beating Floyd Mayweather. You know, Floyd, like David said, I mean, I just could echo everything he said perfectly. Floyd would be the bigger fight for the moment, but I think over the annals of history that beating Mosley and Cotto is a bigger accomplishment.
The man that, if you play Jesus music, he will strike you down in the heart. Justin, go ahead.
My opinion on this is that, you know, beforehand, people will say, if this guy beats this guy, it means this. But after the fight, no matter what fight it is, no matter who fights, the winner always seems to get a little bit of a rough break from some people, and there's always an excuse. So you never really know. I mean, let's say Pacquiao fights Shane Mosley, and Shane Mosley, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, doesn't look so good because he's been on and off lately. Against Mayorga, people thought he was done, and then all of a sudden he comes in and blows out Margarito. So if he comes in there and doesn't look so great, you know, he's not going to get all that much credit for it. So that's all I would really have to say. It depends on how the fights actually go. That's what's going to build his legacy.
Absolutely. Let's go with the guy that was trying to sound like James Earl Jones on his last video, Blood.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man. Chill, man. I'm not really sure what y'all are talking about right now. I've been out of tune for about the last 15. So what's the topic?
Go ahead, Rob, brother. You know, he had a good question and stuff, so go ahead and ask that question one more time.
I just wanted to ask. I was asking everybody, what's more valuable down the stretch of a longevity and legacy, if Pacquiao had fought Floyd alone instead of fighting both Mosley and Cotto, how would you look at that in about a long distance of years?
Oh, I think down the line it would be better for him, for his legacy, to establish his legacy to fight both Miguel Cotto and Shane Mosley rather than Floyd Mayweather. But then again, it depends on how Floyd Mayweather looks in his next fight against Marquez. You know, that's something that we're all waiting to see. You know, has time taken its toll on Floyd Mayweather? It all remains to be seen.
You know, I wanna talk about another thing real quick, man, and see what you guys, you know, it's a little bit, it could be a little controversial on what I'm about to talk about, or it can be. But I think this runs really deep in the hearts of hardcore fight fans, and I think a lot of hardcore fight fans feel this way. Miguel Cotto facing Manny Pacquiao, you know, in November. I've spoken to a lot of people, you know, I've been to a couple events, you know, and talking to guys on the internet, talking to guys on the phone, talking to guys that are in the mix of the game, and it's they all kind of say, you know, I think Manny's going to win, but in a way, I kind of want to see him get knocked out to shut up all his fans. What do you think, David Chen?
I think we all feel that way sometimes, although I hope it doesn't happen that way. You know, Manny doesn't deserve all that. You know, he fights well, he does his job. You know, when he wins, I'm glad he wins kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It seems like all these bandwagon guys throughout boxing history, you know, every fighter has had them. You know, we see them in every era. You know, they got to be humbled eventually. You know, like just to set the perspective correctly, just so, you know, some of this got to stop. But honestly, though, if Manny fans stop doing the things they do, it'll be the fans of somebody else. It'll be Chad Dawson fans. It'll be somebody. You know, it's never going to stop. So I don't want anything bad to happen to Manny just so, like, I can have something to argue with right now.
You know, and I completely...
Chad Dawson fans, the Manny Pacquiao fans, and then 97 Russ say, absolutely? What kind of shit is that?
No, listen to what I'm saying. I hear what David Chen is saying, though, because, you know, we gotta, you know, kind of agree that the fact that if it's not Manny Pacquiao fans, there's going to be other fight fans out there that are going to be jumping on this. And when their man is winning and their man's doing their thing, they seem to think that this man could do anything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've even got emails where Manny Pacquiao will knock out the Klitschko brothers. And I'm like, man, you can't. And they're serious about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I want to touch a little bit what David said, you know, is that, you know, I like Manny a lot, you know, and I know a lot of you guys, we all, and Blood and myself, we always have seen, for some reason, we have to defend ourselves when we talk about Manny Pacquiao, because for some reason, we're not allowed to talk about the man, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I thought it was kind of sad, man, to hear a fight fan go, man, I like Manny, you know, because when you pay for a pay-per-view from Manny, you're going to get what it's worth. You know what I mean? It's just like that's the reason why a lot of people pay for it, because they're going to see that train wreck. You're going to see that accident that's on the side of the street and you're strolling by. You're going to get your money's worth out of that pay-per-view. But when you hear a guy, a fight fan, a hardcore fight fan go, man, you know what, man, I like Manny. You know, I get my money's worth out of dude, but I'm just done and sick and tired of his fans. They're the most biased people. You know, I want to see this man get knocked out just once. And I think that's kind of sad, man, that there are people wishing ill will on a guy that really is humble. After every fight, he says, this is my job. Chris, what do you think?
It's more so a rally against some of his very fans that are very hardcore, loyal, I don't know, followers. I don't know what you want to call them. And I mean, I understand what it is, because me, you, Blood, and anyone else on here that has a YouTube channel, which is probably all of us, you know, if you're not all for Pacquiao, if you don't agree every decision and everything he does is, you know, the perfect thing and the way things should be done, then you're an asshole or you don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, I don't want Manny to lose because of that reason, but I could definitely see why people would see, you know, just have his fans have a reason to say, shut the hell up now, right?
All right, listen, I'll put it this way. I don't wish it on him, but I'm not going to say I'm not going to be thinking it's funny the day it actually happens. I'm going to be laughing the day it happens.
Blood, man, come on, my brother. We haven't had you on. You've been gone. I know you take care of your business. But tell me, what do you think? Is it wrong for these hardcore fans to think like that? Or what? I mean, do you feel like that? I mean, what do you think?
You know what, man? I'm not really too particular on just seeing Manny get beat because of his fans. I'm mad at the game of boxing, man, for, like, hyping somebody up. And, I mean, not just Manny Pacquiao. They did it with Mayweather before Pacquiao. You know, they just hype people up, and then they don't really show and prove because, I mean, look at the situation with Mayweather. That's just as bad. That's even worse, you know. So it's just more the game that I'm mad at, man. And that's what people seem to get twisted, is that I'm just more mad at the game, man, at the way they hype these fighters up. And, you know, Manny Pacquiao, he beat De La Hoya, you know what I'm saying? And now he's fighting Miguel Cotto. He hasn't always taken the toughest fights. That's all I was saying. I was just being a critic, that's all. But basically not of Manny Pacquiao, but of the sport in whole.
Real quick, man, I got this to say about Pacquiao fans, because I get a lot of this. I'm sure you guys too. But it comes down to, hey, you're not Filipino, so why are you even talking about Manny? You know, why you got to discuss him and stuff like that. And I say, well, You're right. I'm not Filipino. I'm American. And so is Bob Arum, his boss. You know, so are a lot of, you know, so is Ring Magazine. That's where it comes from, America. So if I'm going to read 20 pages of Ring Magazine every month where it could have been about somebody else, but instead it's about Manny, and we're making him the subject of these mega fights, and I got to pay to see it, then everybody got a right to talk about him. I don't get this whole, you know, Manny only belongs to the Filipino thing, you know?
Yep.
I've heard that too, man. I mean, I'll be saying something good about Manny, and they'll just rip into you. They get upset. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I've been trying to be civil, man. I've been trying to, like, address the fans in a civil way, the Manny Pacquiao fans. But really, man, you know, I made a video of one guy, and I tried to private it, but it went public. But, you know, I'm trying to be nice and calm. But these are guys who I really, if I seen them, I'd like to stick my foot so far up the ass. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I'm trying to be as civil as I can, man.
Oh, man. You know, Strikeheart, go ahead, man. Tell me what your thoughts about it. You know, is it wrong for some hardcore fans to feel like this, to shut up certain particular fans? You know what? And the reason, look, Manny Pacquiao fans, I know you guys are right away like, oh, there he goes again. There they go again. Really, honestly, your man is at the top of his game right now, so he's got to be the focus of a lot of topics. So don't get upset. You should be happy, because that's the reason why most of you get on YouTube. You don't go look for any other fighters. You look for your fighter, you know what I'm saying? And that's what makes the game so beautiful sometimes. You know, when you do, we do need these casual fans. We do need these topics to talk about and stuff, you know. So, you know, if it wasn't you guys, we'd probably be talking about the Mayweather, because Mayweather fans, too, are about as bad as them, you know. Even with the Roy Jones fans and stuff. I remember when he was fighting Joe Calzaghe, there was people on there saying, man, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, Roy's going to knock out Joe in three rounds, or et cetera, et cetera. Strikeheart, go ahead. Is it wrong for hardcore fans to feel like that, even though Manny is doing his job, he's knocking dudes out, he's making the boxing game just that much more fun to watch?
Yeah, no, I don't wish Manny Pacquiao to get knocked out just to shut up his fans. I mean, there is no way you can avoid assholes but to just stay at home and lock yourself in and turn off your cell phone. So, I mean, you're just going to have to deal with assholes in life. That's just the way it is. And they're not going to go away. If it's not Manny Pacquiao, it'll be somebody else. So,
I agree. You know,
well, we should go to one of these Manny Pacquiao fights, man, so we could catch some of these guys out, and maybe, you know, they could talk some of that shit then, and I could catch a charge that night, because I enjoy that.
Oh, man, you know, nothing's going to happen.
Man, I
want to
kick some of those guys to sleep, man. I'm not even going to lie. The kind of stuff they've been saying, I want to kick them to sleep. I'm not even going to lie about it.
The thing about these fans is that makes everybody upset is it's so obvious that they really don't know too much about what they're talking about. I think that's what makes people more upset than anything. That's all.
You know, I think it's funny. I think it's comical. I really think it's just hilarious in how upset they do get. You know what I mean? Where they'll literally, like, I'll give you a perfect example, and Blood, back me up on this one here. Nate Campbell gets on radio show. Nate Campbell, this fight, you know, and I'm not trying to say we're the only ones that hype up this fight, but I would have to say we're a big part of making this fight really interesting between Nate Campbell and Timothy Bradley, because a lot of people weren't even talking about it. You know, we were surfing through YouTube the other day, and I noticed there was all kinds of people making predictions about this fight, you know, and a lot of times nobody would make predictions. But after this fight, well, actually before the fight, we got a lot of hate mail saying, who's Nate Campbell? You know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, even got to the point where, you know, Nate Campbell, for some way, somehow, was Blood's best friend. Ain't that right, Blood?
Yeah. Still is,
I mean?
Man.
and that's the thing that's funny. Like, you know, I've gotten, you know, what I'm talking about is after the fight, I saw,
yeah, people,
you know,
people,
myself.
People were writing me and say, hey, have you talked to Campbell? Well, I'm like, man, come on, dog. The hell is
well, hey, have you talked to Campbell, dog? I mean, I don't know. You know, you do got his number.
Nah, I ain't gonna call him that soon, bro.
Exactly, and they would, you know, send these emails about Nate Campbell and said, but as soon as you bring up Timothy Bradley, the conversation was shut down, you know, you know, going back what Strikecard was saying is that what upsets a lot of people is the boxing knowledge, you know, that they carry. They don't carry a whole lot, but I think it's just funny. You know what I'm saying? I think it's hilarious that they don't know a whole lot. And when you do ask them a serious boxing question, they fumble. I mean, they fumble so bad that I've gotten some stuff, man. I mean, they'll respond right back to me, and I'll just like, what? I would have to read it about six times, and I still don't get what they're saying.
No, especially when they say that Manny Pacquiao should fight. One guy told me that he should fight Bernard Hopkins to finish out his career. People writing me saying that he should fight Klitschko. That even if he fought Klitschko, you still wouldn't be happy, and he'd probably beat Klitschko. And
what's the situation there?
Exactly.
You're going to be able to meet at any weight.
And I think with a lot of these casual fans are missing through these conversations that we have, having a radio show, having a YouTube channel, having a boxing show, being a sports writer, being a journalist of the game, what they're missing is that, hey, listen, it's our job to ask questions. It's our job as a fan, a hardcore fan, to have, you know, certain scenarios or situations that we're looking to see what happened. If we didn't, this sport would be boring. I wouldn't watch this sport. Would you watch this sport?
No.
Hell no.
If we had
nothing to talk about. That's more proof that there's a difference between casual fans and hardcore fans. It's a difference. I mean, yeah, we all like boxing, and we're all going to go out and bet our money, but, you know, most of the time we're going to win our money. The hardcore fans, we're going to win our money more often than the casual fans, bro.
You know, absolutely no. Let's get away from this one real quick, because I got a request real quick from Chris. He's put on the chat. I don't know why he's put in the chat. You can say it right here, Chris. You know, you're on the line, brother. Roger Mayweather gets locked up.
Yeah,
Chris,
no, I'm curious.
Go ahead, take over, brother. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I seen that he got locked up for beating down abroad. And I'm just curious if he's, you know, I don't know if he's got, if he has a bail that he could post or what, but if not, I'm curious how this is going to affect Floyd's training camp. And, you know, I mean, we saw how Miguel Cotto might have somewhat been affected without his uncle in his corner, you know. So I'm just curious, you know, if Roger's going to be in the corner or not, and if it's going to, you know, break up the training camp. I don't know, maybe we'll see come 24/7, although I don't think they're going to visit Roger in the jail. You never know. But I'm just curious what people's thoughts are on this, you know, if it's going to affect the camp or not, or, you know, how it might affect Floyd going into this fight.
You know what, man? First off, this is not Roger's first, bench with the law and smacking a woman and stuff. You know, we don't condone it. I don't condone you slapping, you know, a woman, nothing like that. You know, hopefully everything gets fixed and all that. But going with your question about him, about Floyd Miller, is it going to affect his camp? I don't think it will, because if you remember, last time he got suspended from the Zab Judah, so then when he fought Carlos Baldomir, even though this is a completely different fighter, it really didn't show that it really did affect him. I think anything, this guy's been doing this sport for so long and learning this one particular style that he can run with it on his own. I mean, Blood, what do you think?
I think that when it comes down to fight night, he wants Mayweather, he wants Roger in his corner. You remember when him and Zab Judah got into that little incident, the first thing he was asking when Roger was escorted out of there, where's Uncle Roger at? Where's Uncle Roger? You know, he was looking around, and, you know, he likes to have his uncle in there. So psychologically, I think, yeah, it is going to have a little bit of an impact. I wouldn't say it's not going to have any impact at all. Of course he wants his uncle in there. Just don't bring Dad back. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Dad would take over too much and stuff, you know. Rob Riddler, man, the quietest man out of Puerto Rico right now. What do you think, brother?
I know you're
a big Floyd Mayweather fan. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, don't even talk bad about Floyd. I might just, I don't know. I might go beat somebody myself. But I'm gonna be honest. I laughed when I read that story. I laughed so hard, like I just. It's still funny to me, but, you know, I really don't care. You know, to me, forget Roger. I don't give a crap if he's in jail or not. Dude's crazy as hell. He talks too much shit. I don't care. He can kiss my ass. But I'll just say it right now. That dude can kiss my ass. And Floyd Mayweather, anything that can go wrong for Floyd is a better day for me. That's just my opinion. If no one likes it, anything that goes wrong for Floyd makes my day better. And I'm just going to say it like that. I'm going to leave it like that.
Wow. Okay, David Chen. Does it affect Floyd Money Mayweather, or he's just too good in the game right now where it's not going to hurt him at all?
Well, first of all, Roger going to jail because he was a bitch. That's a beautiful headline. I got it.
What was that? You cut off. What did you say?
I said Roger Mayweather going to jail over choking a lady. That's a good headline.
Yeah,
first of all,
exactly.
No matter what, right? But the thing is, though, I remember reading somewhere that Mayweather Sr. was going to be back with Floyd for this one. I don't know in what capacity. He's kind of always floating in and out. But also, along with the whole rib injury issue that nobody really got any information on, because this, you know, just one of those things where it's like, hey, it's meant to seem like it's weakening Floyd, but really it's not, right? You can look at it from all different angles. So I'm not really too sure what I'm thinking right now, like what my feelings are.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Strikeheart, go ahead, brother. What do you think?
I think it can't be good for Floyd, that's for sure, because it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing in the ring, but he's a tough dude to work with. I mean, he's a prima donna, so I can't really see somebody else walking in and telling Floyd what to do and trying to establish a game plan with him. So I think another trainer coming in with him could only be a bad thing because it probably won't work well.
Mm-hmm.
They probably won't really see eye to eye on too much. So I think that it's not that he needs Roger Mayweather to help him be a good boxer, but just as somebody that he can, you know, see eye to eye with on things and
a
game plan together.
You know, I think what you're saying is somebody he can trust, you know, when they're
right.
Out on the outside looking in. I think that's exactly what Roger provides, is a comfort zone for him to be a second pair of eyes. And I think you're right. I mean, I think he needs that. And, I think you got a good case about what you're saying right there, him needing
Roger. Yeah, because he damn near seemed to panic when Roger was escorted out of the ring that Zab Judah fight. I mean, I don't know if y'all remember, but he looked like he was crying. You know, hey, where's Uncle Roger? You know, so, you know, he wants to have his uncle in there. I think psychologically, yeah, I think it's going to have some kind of an impact on him. He's been working with him for so long. I would think it's going to have some kind of an impact. Like you said, he could trust his uncle. He wants to hear his uncle in there telling him, go out there and kick his ass. You know how they talk. And, you
right.
Know, they got that little connection, you know. So
I'm telling you guys that this was meant to happen so Floyd can have a nice family reunion with Daddy. Now he can sit down and talk to his dad, and they can fix their problems. Because that's the only person I see being able to replace Roger right now. I don't think what's that dude's name? What's the other brother's name? The real quiet one that doesn't talk crap.
Jeff Mayweather.
Jeff's a nice guy, but I don't think he can do it. I don't think Floyd would feel too comfortable with him. And His dad's always in the gym anyway, you know, and he's always there, so, you know, why not? You know, just fix it.
Yeah.
It's a fixed problem.
You might be right on that one, bro.
And you know, it's gonna be good, you know, all hate aside, it's gonna be good for the family in general. You know, and maybe Roger can come out and they can all have a group hug, I don't know.
I doubt that.
it can't happen, though. It can't happen. You know, Chris, what's your take about it, bro?
I mean, if by chance he doesn't get to be in the corner, I do think it'll bother him. You know, I mean, it's just because it's that familiarity, the voice he's used to having in his ear. You know, it's a team. You know, they call it Team Mayweather. But I don't know how much of an effect it'll have him. You know, but I just want to see Roger in the corner. You know, I want to see him, you know, match wits against, you know, Nacho Berenstein, another great trainer. You know, it's not just the fighters, it is the cornermen, you know, in between the rounds telling him to make adjustments and whatnot. But if he's not there, then yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he brings his pops back, and that would be just as interesting as well. So I don't know, it's an interesting storyline, but I don't know, it was just something I was surprised to hear about. You know, Roger, you would think, you know, he'd have a little more sense at his age than to, you know, go pulling these beatdowns on women, but I guess not.
Well, you know,
yeah,
sometimes
know.
you got to keep him in line. But I'm just kidding.
Well, you know what? It goes back to that old saying and stuff. You know, that I'm not saying I condone this, man, or whatever. You know, But I've heard, you know, from the old timers, hey, I'll never slap a lady, but I'll slap the shit out of a bitch.
No comment.
Hey, but then they say they'll choke. It's okay to choke the shit out of a lady now, but don't beat her around now. But now choke the shit out of her. Yeah, didn't Chris Rock say that shit? I think Chris Rock said it is good enough for me. Shit,
you know? You know, you can shake them pretty hard and shit like that.
Exactly, dog. You know, I mean, but
hey,
you know,
just
I mean,
kidding.
Whatever
we
happens.
Ain't no women beaters, and we don't condone that shit over here in the ring. We having a little bit of a joke here, so don't get all crazy.
Don't get all anal hurt over there and stuff, man. Because I know you go, oh, yeah, look at that, talking about, you know, smacking women. No, we're not. We're just making a joke. It's a ha-ha. It's a funny. We got women that listen to it. We got our girl Chicky that's always, you know, on with us. She's out of Ireland, and she's great, and she's always, you know, checking in with us and chopping it up with us and shooting us down the info. Hey, you know the fight, interesting fight, man. I'm going to try to get them on. Hopefully next week. I'm going to try to get them on next week. I'm going to work real hard to get these guys on and stuff. It's not a big, major fight, you know, per se, but it's a really interesting fight. And it's actually a big, big fight in Chicago. And I don't know if you guys heard about this. September 26th at Chicago's UIC Pavilion, 8-Count Promotions present a historical Chicago matchup between David Diaz versus Jesus the Matador Chavez. I like that fight. I think that's going to be a pretty good fight. Two guys going head-to-head and stuff. Two guys really, you know, hanging on the career right now. I'm going to go with real quick. I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this fight. This is an interesting fight matchup for me. I would like to see it on ESPN, too, to tell you the truth. But let's go with real quick. David Chen, what do you think about this fight? Good fight on paper and good fight when it happens? Or, not too interested about it?
I think it will be an entertaining fight. It's one of those fights where, you know, neither athlete is like an amazing fighter in their own right, but I think, you know, because it's such a good matchup that they have a chance of doing something that's kind of like beyond what they're capable of, you know, kind of like a Gatti Ward, they might be able to, you know, put on a good show, that kind of thing. As for two fighters, you know, David Diaz is a pretty tough guy, and so is Chavez. I like Chavez a little bit more, but I haven't thought about it too much. I only heard about it recently. You know, I'm sure for the Chicago guys or the guys who are going to be there that night, it's going to be a good show. Other than that, I haven't thought too much about it.
And you're right about the whole Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward thing. It could be, and they're kind of not, I'm not going to say it's going to be almost to it, but it could kind of be, you know, fit the bill. It could be a little bit changed. To change in comparisons to that fight where these two guys, not really big punchers, they throw a lot of shots, they're going to mix it up, and they're two guys that really don't really shy away from getting hit, you know what I mean? So it makes it an interesting fight. Let's see if we can get another hardcore fight before I ask the rest of you guys that have been on the panel. We got a caller from area code 973. Go ahead and state your name, brother, and what's on your mind?
Yo, what's up, Dave? It's Future Boxer.
Future Boxer, what's cracking, brother?
I'm not much really, yeah.
Doing good, man. You sound like you smoked a big old fat blunt.
What's going small, man? You smoking a dank, bro, coming on here.
Oh,
like
you smoking that green, huh? That's why you're late.
That
dick.
You
that dick.
Yeah, I was looking. I was like, damn, the radio show. And then I remember looking early. I was like, I wonder if it's going to be us, man. And then all I see is Joel Cacamayo.
Hey, Blood, this
man,
this
he on that kryptonite, bro.
He's on that Green Lantern shit. That's what he's on. He's on the Green Lantern stuff, man. But this is what happened with Future Boxer. I can guarantee it. And Future, tell me if I'm right. You were kicking back. You said, oh, the radio show starts at 5 o'clock. I'm going to get on there. Then he looks at the Green Lantern. And he's like, man, I just want to be a superhero just for 1 minute.
Hey, man. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh,
dude.
Shit.
Yeah, man, what you doing? You bonging your shit, or you rolling blunts, dog? You got your little, or you putting your shit in a little bowl? Which one, dog?
Joints,
blunts, bongs, which one? I know it's one of them.
Nah, it's a blunt. It's, you know, I just rolled it up. I mean, yo, I forgot. I knew the radio show was on today, and then I look at the special guest, like, oh, Joel Cosmo is going to be on. I can't wait. And then I look at the time, it's like 10:30. I'm like, what the hell? And I just got on right now.
That's what that chronic, hey, that's what that good shit would do to your senses right there. You know, you think it's 5, it's already almost 8 o'clock, man. But anyways, hey, future boxer, what do you think about Jesus Chavez, a Matador out of Chicago, fighting another Chicagoan by the name of David Diaz in September? Good matchup, you know, good on paper, or something you don't really care about as a hardcore fight fan?
No, I like this match because, you know, Diaz hasn't been in the ring for a very long time since the Pacquiao fight. And, you know, it's going to be in Chicago, right? Because Diaz is
it's going to be in Chicago. Yeah.
All right, then Diaz, you know, he's popular there. So, his fans were there to support him. So, I don't know. I'll see it, you know. It's not a big event, but, you know what, I like to see him. I mean, especially Diaz, I really had a lot of respect for him since the Pacquiao fight, you know. I got a lot of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
916 Chris, what do you think, brother?
I think this fight would have been better a couple years ago for Chavez and before David Diaz took the bludgeoning from Manny Pacquiao. I mean, I don't know how that fight's going to affect him, you know. Sometimes a serious beatdown like that will take a years out of a fighter. We haven't seen Diaz since that fight, so I guess he's just been recuperating. You know, it'll be an exciting kind of fight, you know, because both guys aren't afraid to get in there and mix it up, you know. Both Mexicans, you know, and they fight like that. Chavez is a little bit better technically, but like I said, he's just really past his prime. You know, he had that brief retirement after he had the injury with his knee, and I don't know, man. I just don't know if he's got the skills or the speed at this point to hold off Diaz's charging type, you know, walk forward kind of style. But it'll be a fun fight to watch, but I'm not necessarily anticipating as much as I would if it had happened 2-3 years ago.
You know, you're right and stuff, but it still makes it a fun matchup. I kind of like it. I want to see it. You know, I don't know if it's going to be televised and stuff, and I'm going to find out if we can televise. I mean, if we can actually stream it ourselves. I'm going to talk to the promoter and stuff and see if we can do it. We can cover it. You know, I don't know, maybe even taking a flight out there and stuff, and get all of leaving in the ring out there, and we can, you know, see what we can do. I don't know. Wishful thinking, though, right, you know? So what I want to kind of get into before I forget and all that, because we only have about a half an hour left on the radio show, get away from boxing just for a short minute. Hey, the UFC is on this Saturday, right, Chris?
You know it.
Okay, so break it down for us, brother. You know, you're the UFC man. You're the man with the news, the man with a plan, with a microphone in his hand. Let us know what is happening, what goes down, what's the prediction on this fight. I know we're going to have Forrest, and you're going to have Anderson Silva both on the card. I know a couple people were kind of getting mad at you about your prediction, you know, asking if you were cruising around and stuff.
Yeah, whatever, man. People just hate on me all the time, asking me. Hey, they might have thought I'm pretty, you know what I'm saying? Just because I'm pretty don't mean I'm gay. But anyways,
yeah.
No, man, that fight itself, you know, there's two big fights. The main event is BJ Penn defending the lightweight championship against Kenny Florian, and the main event, the co-main, is what everyone's talking about for the most part. I actually did a story. It's on the website. There will be bloodfightshow.com. Anderson Silva, middleweight champ, stepping up to 205 to take on former light heavyweight champ Forrest Griffin. You know, Anderson Silva is one of the guys considered best pound-for-pound fighter in the game. You know, the guy that wants to fight Roy Jones as soon as he's done with his contract. But he's been having a couple boring fights, so the fans are coming down on him. So they throw him in against Forrest Griffin, who is like a fan favorite, always makes for exciting fights. So it's just an intriguing matchup. You know, a lot of people want to see it and don't know what's going to go down. And, you know, in the story, I just address what the guys have to, you know, win and what they got to lose. But it's a really big card. You know, anyone that's a hardcore or casual fan, even Rob Riddler over there, I know he's not a big-time fan, but we've been going back and forth talking about it, so.
What's your whole take about it? Rob, you know, you think Penn's going to take it? You think Griffin, Silva, you know.
I mean,
Silvas? First off, wait a minute, before you even answer, how many goddamn Silvas are in UFC? It seems like they all dominate, man, all these Silvas.
Vanderlei, Anderson, I think Thiago, who else is in there? I know there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of Silvas and a lot of Thiagos.
In UFC, Brazil is like the Puerto Rico or Mexico of MMA, as far as I look at it right now. Am I wrong, Chris?
No, you're right, man. You're right. Go ahead.
I mean, because, like, you know, these guys seem to produce the best fighters. They seem to be really passionate about it.
You know, so, I mean, they just produced so many good fighters. So they got Anderson Silva and Wanderlei Silva, who's a legend, you know, but, I mean, that's how I look at that. Like, I look at that national-wise.
And this guy, Anderson Silva, who's talking about after his contracts, Chris and Rob, about maybe possibly, you know, I know that he's been hang up a little bit on fighting Roy Jones Jr. I mean, I don't know, does he got a shot? I don't think he does. I think he's trying to, he's getting himself into a whole world of a hurt, stepping in the ring with a legend who's not in his prime anymore either, but still, I would say I have enough to knock out this poor kid.
He's boxed before, and for those who don't know, he has boxed. He was knocked out in three rounds, I think, by some, I'm just going to say a bum. He's had three professional fights, I think. So, I mean, I don't really know how good his boxing game is. And also, I don't know how far long ago that was, so he may have improved on his boxing game. But really, MMA, I mean, I might be wrong about this, but these are guys who are average in about everything, or, you know, a notch above average, but they're not really professionals in it. So I don't think he's too – I don't think he's at that level to go a few rounds with Roy Jones.
What do you mean it's not – I don't understand. Explain yourself to me when you say something like that.
I mean, guys going to MMA, they have a great wrestling background. They're good at boxing, and they're good at kickboxing, and they're okay in jiu-jitsu, but they're not, like, as good as they are in their – you know, a hardcore background of it. You know, they'll all go in there with one big advantage over the other guy, but nobody's really as well-rounded. The most well-rounded fighter you'll see in martial arts today is Fedor, Anderson, and GSP. If I'm not wrong or mistaken,
Chris,
he's right about the three fighters he just mentioned, but I mean, granted, none of these guys, especially Anderson Silva, you know, let's just say he's one of the better fighters out there, he's not going to be able to touch Roy Jones in a boxing match. I don't care if Roy's 40 now. Even if Roy's 45, I think Roy will beat him. I mean, you can't – that's like throwing a boxer in an MMA fight, you know. It's just not going to happen. You know, they're not going to win. But I disagree. I think that these guys are really good at their disciplines, whether it be jiu-jitsu or wrestling or Muay Thai. You know, I do think they're really good at that. And, you know, it's just whether or not they can apply that effectively. And also, real quick, there's another guy whose name he left out. His name is Miguel Torres. He's a lightweight. He fights at He's a bantamweight. He fights at 135 pounds. This guy's going to be fighting Sunday night on the Versus Network, so it's free. So anyone that's, you know, kind of on the fence about watching MMA, but you like Mexican fighters, like anyone that fights that likes Pacquiao, Barrera, Morales, this is probably the closest of an MMA fighter that you're going to get to those styles. This guy's just a little dude. He straight scraps. He fights like a traditional Mexican boxer, just gets in there and goes to war. And, man, he puts on good fights every time. So if you got the Versus Network, you know, and you're interested in MMA at all, make sure you check out this dude's fight on Sunday night.
And he rocks the mullet. Come on now. You got to see this.
I think I've seen him already, man. I think I did. He lost the last time I seen him. Well, I don't know. They fight every other week.
No,
but,
it
you
is
know,
the same guy. He don't lose.
No? Okay, because I remember seeing a kid that was a bantamweight. I can't remember his name, though. Had the mullet. A Mexican kid, and he did lose the match. I can't remember who it was, but it must be another guy and stuff. But, hey, going real quick, you know, like I said, I'm not a big MMA fan. I'm starting to learn a lot more being around, you know, like Chris and other people that are into it and stuff. But the big wrestler guy out of WWE, is he making a mockery of the UFC?
Oh, Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Nah. Brock Lesnar, yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
I mean, to me, I would, as a casual fan, at first, you know, I don't like him. You know, Chris, I made that clear to Chris, you know, but I don't like him. But if you're a fan and you realize that he's really disciplined in what he does, he's very well-rounded in wrestling. He's probably one of the best wrestlers in there going in there right now. So he's a real mixed martial artist. But I don't think people are ready to accept that. I don't think people are ready to accept him coming in there with, like, four fights and being champion. There's a lot of things that went wrong there. You know, people aren't liking him too much. But I respect him going in there, but I just don't like him as a person.
But what about beating a guy like Couture, though? That guy's a legend.
Like, what guy?
Couture.
Randy Couture.
Randy Couture. That's it. Yeah. What about beating him? That has to say something about him right there.
He did, but Randy Couture was like really old, you know, and that really pissed more people off because all this big dude just comes in there and, oh, come on now. Randy Couture is old, man. Why is he fighting this guy? He doesn't even want to fight. I heard rumors that he didn't want to fight in the UFC anymore. They just like forced him to fight. He had to, you know, so, I mean, that just really pissed more people off to me, so. You know, but I
heard that Dana White yelled at him after, too, though. Is that true? I heard him when he got cussed him out because I guess Brock was arguing with the fans in the audience or something like that.
Oh, that was in his last fight with Frank Mir where I don't know what he was on. It looked like he was on crack or something, just came up to this dude. This dude doesn't even know where he is. He's seeing more dots than Campbell did, and Rob Brock is, like, coming up to him like an ogre, screaming in his face. You know,
uh-huh.
I don't even know what the hell he was saying. So, I mean, I felt bad for that dude because that dude got so messed up. But, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was just that wrestling persona or it was just how he is. I don't know. I hope it's how he is. Cause
I don't think it was
could
bad.
Could be, man.
I heard your question, is he making a mockery of the sport? I think it was disrespectful to approach a fighter and tell him talk shit now after you completely beat the crap out of him. You know, and flipping off the fans isn't really necessarily a good thing. You know, this isn't professional wrestling. This is mixed martial arts. But the positive is that whether Dana White wants to admit it or not, that little tirade or, you know, rant or whatever you want to call it Brock Lesnar did got him and the UFC talked about on all these shows on ESPN, these Pardon the Interruptions, Around the Horn Sports Center, all these mainstream sports shows. They were talking that for days after. So it's like any publicity is good publicity type of deal in that situation.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that, you know, and I think that these WWE guys know what they're doing when it comes to selling events, you know. I want to move away from that real quick and make a real quick announcement. You know, on September 12th, live in San Juan, Puerto Rico, you're going to see Ivan, the Iron Boy Cabron, go in and also face another Ring Magazine titleist on a 12-round bout in a rematch against number one contender Rodal Mayo. Last past June, they fought in Madison Square Garden and ended in a 6-round technical draw because Ivan was unable to continue from an accidental headbutt he suffered in the 4th round. So you could say that the ref here got the call right on this one, right? You know,
yeah.
On the call feature, WBO super featherweight title holder Ramon Rocky Martinez, who I really like. I don't know why I like this kid. I know Rob Riddle wasn't really impressed by him, but I like the kid because I like his heart. I like the way he comes back, and he gets hurt, he comes back, and he tries to bang himself out of a situation and gets himself out of it. He makes his first title defense since capturing the bout on March 14th by way of 4th-round knockout of Nicky Cook, which was on, I believe it was the undercard of the Amir Khan and Burrell fight, okay? He's going to be fighting Michael Lozaldo, 31 wins, 5 losses, 1 draw, 24 knockouts. This is undefeated champions is what the label is going to be of the fight card. I like both these guys. You know, Cabron is one of those guys, man, that just nobody's been able to figure him out. The Iron Boy, I don't know. What is your Puerto Rican kid's got some major, major skills. And really, I think every test that's been put in front of him, man, he's been able to pass with, you know, just flying colors in there. David Chan, any thoughts about this upcoming fight, a rematch that was really, you know, due to happen from these two guys since it was a 6-round technical draw from a dude or a headbutt?
I didn't see the fight itself. I only read the reports on it, so I'm not really sure. Since, you know, being in the U.S., we really don't get to see much of Calderon, period. Maybe, you know, Rob is the one you got to ask about this. But I do like the fact that they did do a rematch. I think that's one of those situations that doesn't come up too much. You know, I feel like when there's, you know, unfinished business and the fans ask for it, you know, the fighters and the promoters, they really should put it together. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen all the time. So I'm glad this is happening. I don't know. I just wish we could see it. That's all it is. I mean, Calderon was a ranked, you know, pound for pound top 10 for a long time, but nobody in the U.S. gets to see him, and I'm not really sure why that is. Maybe Rob can fill it in.
I think that what it is because he's more of a boxer. He's not a puncher. He doesn't have that one-punch knockout power. I mean, his record is 32 wins, He's got that one technical draw that he has from the Mexican fighter, Rodel, and he only has got 6 KOs. So that pretty much tells
well,
you he doesn't
okay.
have...
Here's the thing, though. I mean, there's a large, you know, number of Puerto Ricans in America, and that's why Cotto gets a lot of support here as well. And I thought, you know, the Puerto Rican crowd is a little bit more open as to, like, what kind of style you can adopt in the ring. I mean, I could be
right.
wrong.
I know. I think the Puerto Rican people has embraced them. Rob Miller, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, people, you know, people are fond of Arribano over here. He's a very good guy. Type of guy you can see in the street, you know. It's not he's not that he's not liked. It's just his style is not appealing to TV. You know, if you're not a boxing fan, like I mean, you gotta be a hardcore boxing fan. I actually want to sit and, you know, I love Ivan. You know, he's one of my favorite fighters from here. But I really have to. I'm glad I'm a boxing fan because if I wasn't, I couldn't watch top rounds of Calderon. You know, he's just he avoids you enough, so you really can't throw nothing and you really don't want to throw because you're afraid of getting caught. And when he hits you, he somehow gets you off balance, and, you know, it's great, you know, but he's not like TV
friendly.
Advertisement type material.
Right, right.
You know,
he's not TV friendly. Strikeheart, man, what do you think about this kid, Calderon? I mean, I actually like him. He reminds me a little bit of a Pernell Whitaker where he makes you miss and he makes you pay.
I feel a lot like David Chen on this one. I feel like I've been robbed of seeing him. I know he was on the undercard of a fight. Not, I guess it was this last fight, and it wasn't on TV, as I recall. They went straight to the main event, if I'm not wrong. But, yeah, I mean, I've only been able to see him online because you see somebody on the top 10 pound for pound list. You want to check him out. And from what I've seen, yeah, he's got lots of skill. And to not be beat and only have 6 knockouts speaks volumes. So yeah, I would love to see him in general. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Chris 916, man, any thoughts about him? You know, having this pay-per-view, it's going to be on pay-per-view, and in this rematch, he is fighting a pretty tough fighter out of Mexico, Rodel. But any takes on this fight, man? Any takes on Martinez? Why, like?
Unfortunately, I have to echo the sentiments of both David Chen and Justin Strikeheart.
And don't ask Blood either, because Blood don't know either. So.
That's the case, right, Blood? Nah, man, I haven't got a chance to ever see Calderon perform, unfortunately, except for clips, you know. I haven't got a chance to see the other guys mentioned, Rocky Martinez. So, I mean, unfortunately, you're going to have to school us all, Dave, because I don't think any of us...
I'm going to tell you right now. Rocky Martinez is not the most skillful kid in the world, but he's a kid that has kind of a little bit of I would have to say, some of the spirit of Arturo Gatti, rest in peace, where he gets hurt, but he comes back. He's got power, you know what I mean? He's able to get himself out of situations, sticky situations, where he can just kind of get out of it by knocking the dude out, you know? He was losing his last fight. I can't remember the name. Oh, yeah, Nicky Cook. He was fighting Nicky Cook. He was losing that fight. But then, man, somehow, some way, Nicky Cook just spent his gas, you know? He couldn't put the foot on the pedal no more. And here came Martinez, man. Rocky just came back and just started banging on him and stuff and just throwing some big bombs and finally caught him, man, and stopped him and stuff. So it was a great fight, matchup. Now, Ivan Calderon, I call him a cabron, my bad. Calderon, you know. Oh, man.
Wow.
This is a kid who I like, too. This kid I like. He's slick. Like I said, he reminds me a lot of Pernell Whitaker, a Latino Pernell Whitaker, man. He's able to split punches. And really, he's graceful in the ring. You know, he makes you pay. He makes big punchers really cautious of what they're doing. I mean, he fought Hugo, who was a Mexican champion, a big puncher, gets in there, and the fight was really good. I mean, that fight was really good and stuff, but he was able to make him look normal. You know, he was able to frustrate a lot of heavy, big punchers and stuff. Really, honestly, I would have to say he's kind of in the same breath of like a Finito, you know, Lopez, where there's really nobody out there to really prove that he's worthy for all fight fans, casual fans and hardcore fans, to enjoy him because there's nobody out there. I mean, I don't know. Rob, really, what do you think? I don't think there's anybody out there that could really put his boxing skills to the test.
I mean, no, he's going to have to go up really high in weight. And, you know, he tried. He was talking about Amijadas and Nonito, which is really too high. And I would definitely not
right.
want him to get Nonito. But in his weight class, first of all, in his weight class, there's, like, very little fighters compared to other weight classes. Like, there's, and it's in the hundreds, but it's not in the thousands. So, you know, right there's not too many guys. So, and plus, he's already beaten all the top guys. This is, like, probably the last one left. And he's getting old now, you know, so, I mean, it's just one of those guys that you just missed, and now he's, like, he's the next one, dude. He came and he went. You know, that's pretty much all you can say about Calderon.
You're absolutely right, man. You know, we only got a few more minutes, left.
Let me ask you something real quick. I know you see a lot of these fights. Did you get a chance to see the fight a couple weekends ago? I can't remember the guy's name. He's Mexican. He fights lightweight. He was undefeated, I believe. He's been on our show.
Oh, my God. Urbano Antelion, one of my favorite fighters, dude. Winning that fight. Winning that fight, okay? He was outboxing him, but, you know, he was getting caught. What happened was the guy was really awkward that he fought. One of the guys that we link up with is BoxingRepublic.com. You can go over there and you actually can watch the fight. If you haven't seen the fight, you can go. He has it on his website. You can watch the whole fight, and it's clear, it's good. I mean, and that's why I watched it, to tell you the truth. And he was beating the guy, man, but the guy was really awkward where he was pulling back and then jumping in with a wild, you know, right hook or a wild left hook. And finally what happened, I think it was on the ninth round, if I remember correct, Urban kind of had his head dipping down, and the guy came up with a perfect right uppercut, man. It was just picture perfect. Caught him right in the chin, dropped the dude, just dropped him. And you could see that he tried to keep his composure. He was down on one knee. He was looking at the ref, but you could see his eyes were really glazed up, man, and he was out of it. So he was, you know, it was an upset.
What it sounds like.
Yep, it was an upset, man. And like I said, you guys can check it out on www.boxingrepublic.com, and you can see the whole fight. You know, Blood, go check it out. Rob Blue, go check it out. Everybody, all the guys on the chat room, go check that fight out. Because it was a good, interesting fight, but I think that Antelion was just – it had the wrong game plan, you know. I mean, just being a little bit over-aggressive because he couldn't really figure him out. He couldn't hit him, honestly – completely clean. He was landing some good shots, but you could tell that he was getting a little over anxious and a little, I guess you could say impatient. You know what I'm saying? He was being really impatient about it. I think in his sense, he was thinking, you know what, dude, I could have knocked this dude out a long time ago, but he got caught up in the moment and he got caught. And just like in boxing, man, anything could happen. That's why I always say, you hear people always say, well, I don't want to see that fight because you already know that's going to happen. Well, you don't. You don't know that's what's going to happen and stuff. And we've said it time and time again, you know. David Chan, Chris, Blood, everybody on Rob, we've all said this. You can never be right on a prediction all the time.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Impossible. And that's another thing. I'm tired of hearing people say, I get my predictions all right all the time. Well, stop picking the easy ones.
Man, whatever.
I'm on a roll lately. I don't know what y'all talking about. Shit, I'm on a roll.
Shit, who said that? Riddler?
Yeah, he did.
Boy, he's telling a riddle right then.
I had a bad season. You know, I'll admit I had a bad season, but I'm getting back. I'm getting back. You know, and I'm.
Are you getting back?
I'm getting back. I'm gonna start putting money up. Shit.
I'll bet money with you, Rob. You're going to about to lose that bet. You pick Juan Diaz to be Paulie Malignaggi. We'll see on August 22nd. We'll see how fast.
That is a done deal. Juan Diaz is going to be his. Man, I'm from Brooklyn, and I'm picking it. Forget that. It's done. It's done. Juan Diaz won. Forget it.
You say Paulie's going to win that fight?
Yeah, I'm going to say. I'm going to go with Paulie. I'm the only one that probably goes with Paulie.
You're
future
the only
boxer
man in the world that goes for Paulie, yeah. Son. That is...
Damn,
oh,
that's enough,
yo.
That's a. I think you're having a little bit of the Swamp Thing with the Green Lantern mixing up on that one, dog.
Yeah, future boxer be talking a whole different language when he come on here, don't he?
That's
my boy, though.
Yeah, that's my boy, too. But, hey, but Future Box should be coming with all kinds of mini clouds of smoke. Hey, fam, you know what? It's always a pleasure having you guys on. You know, I know everybody, when we don't have a show and we skip a week, you know, I get tons of emails. I know Blood does. I know, you know, I'm pretty sure Chris and Dave does, too. You know, where, hey, what happened to the show? Or they hit our inboxes. Yo, what's up, man? You know? But, you know, we try to keep it as much as we can, but, you know, we all do, we all have jobs and we all have, you know, things to take care of, too, just like Blood. Couldn't be on earlier because he had to take care of business, you know, so sometimes we can't get on, and we try to do it every week, and I'd say, you know, whether it's, what, four or five shows in a month and stuff, we'll probably end up missing one because there are things. I go and cover fights. Or, you know, David Chen's got school. You know, Chris got something coming up. Same thing with Blood. So sometimes it's kind of hard to get us all in and stuff. Hey, but when I get my thing on for online, yo, anybody wants to put some money down on it?
What you talking about
that?
Stuff. Round four, man?
Yeah, round four.
Man,
yeah, I
heard
got
you
money.
Out here
I
early
money.
With the Canoes, man. You ain't got your skills together, man.
Hey, just be quiet. Just because you're picking Nate Campbell on round four and you're losing this stuff.
Oh, man, come on, man. Hey, you talking about how you win with Shane Mosley all the time and how that would happen in a real fight, man. Shit, the reason why is because your skills ain't up to par, dawg. It don't got nothing to do with that, dawg. Your skills ain't up to par, bruh.
I'm telling you, man, I got money on it. My skills are just that good. Trust me. Hey, Sam, like I said, it's all great, man. I'll talk to you guys later on next week. Leave it in the ring. If you didn't catch the whole show, catch it on demand on the website. Take care, guys.
No doubt. All right.
Peace.
All
right, take care, guys.
Peace.